Okay, and I'm going to go dark for 30 seconds.
We are recording and broadcasting. Do we want to work through the basic housekeeping?
Yes, in one second. Commissioner Bakewell will be joining us momentarily as well.
Excellent.
I think we can go ahead and get started. All right.
Okay. We're wheels up. Great. Great to see everyone. I missed you all the last commission meeting. Thank you, Commissioner Ginsburg, for covering and leading the last meeting. A lot's happened. The world is starting to open, and I just wish you all a very happy holidays, and hopefully you'll all have a chance to reconnect with your family this holiday season. So I'm Chair Rue Mapp, Chair of the California State Park and Recreation Commission, and we will start with a few announcements. Because of the COVID-19 emergency and the governor's executive orders N2920 and N3320, we are conducting this commission meeting virtually. Members of the public can watch the meeting stream live on www.calspan.org. That's cal-span.org. An archived video of this meeting will also be available on CalSPAN for later viewing. The commission is using the video conference service Zoom to host the meeting and allow for public participation. I'm sure by now everyone's familiar with how to use a Zoom. And members of the public who wish to comment can do so using Zoom or by telephone and should register for the Zoom meeting to receive a unique meeting ID and password. For technical support, please call the great folks at 805-801-3576. It's 805-801-3576. At approximately 12 noon, if we're not adjourned by that time, we will have a 30-minute lunch break. Now I'd like to ask the clerk of the board to take roll of the commissioners. Over to you.
Commission Chair Rue.
Present.
Commission Vice Chair Phil Ginsburg.
Present.
Commissioner Diane Wittenberg.
Present.
Commissioner Sarah Barth.
Present.
Commissioner Catherine Toy.
Present.
Commissioner Asma Mahdi.
Present.
Commissioner Danny Bakewell Sr. Assemblyman member Eduardo Garcia, represented by Keith Chilino, I know unable to attend. And Senator Henry Stern, represented by Catherine Baxter. Okay, we're done.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Baird. At this time, I would like to introduce the California Natural Resources Agency and State Parks staff. Chief Deputy Director Liz McGurk, Chief Counsel Tara Lynch, Special Assistant to the Director Jason McCannell, Cultural Resources Division Chief Leslie Harzel, Planning Division Chief Alexandra Stell, North Coast Redwoods District Superintendent Victor Belayance, and Director of California State Parks and Recreation Armando Quintero. I know you will share a director's update this morning per the agenda, Director, but please take a few moments, if you can, to offer any opening remarks if you would like to do so.
Oops, Armando, you're on mute.
My spouse wishes she could do that to me. My goodness, has this ever been a lifetime in a year? When I look at all the things that parks have been through, that the public has been through, both in terms of challenges and accomplishments, it's really a stunning 12 months, prefaced by many months of the pandemic that we are still in. And so with my comments, I just wish all of you all the best in the coming year. And really, in advance of this meeting, would like to thank each and every member of this Parks Commission and the support staff and everybody who is on screen, and certainly the public that continues to be just an extraordinary source of support for our collective state park system. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Director.
One moment, this is Stacy. I just wanted to acknowledge that I have marked Commissioner Bakewell as present.
Welcome, Commissioner Bakewell. It's great to see you.
You're on mute.
Okay, moving to the agenda management portion of our meeting, I'll be making one adjustment to the posted agenda. That is agenda item 8A, commission elections, will move to our next meeting scheduled for February 7th and 8th, at which time we will nominate, elect, and begin new terms for the role of chairperson and vice chairperson. If there are no objections to this agenda modification, it will be adopted with that single revision. Now for some instruction regarding public comment periods during this meeting. Public comments will be heard prior to the commission discussion. The commissioners can ask questions of staff, but should refrain from having an in-depth discussion until after the public makes their comments. There will be four public comment periods during this meeting. One public comment period following agenda items 4, resolution honoring Ernest Chung. One public comment period following agenda item number 5, re-examining our past initiative. Agenda item 6 allows time for public comment regarding items not on the agenda. And one public comment period following agenda items 7 and 8, commission business and actions. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to present their public comments, and we will have the cues for you to know when your time is up. At that time, I would like to, at this time, I'd like to request the meeting clerk to read the detailed instructions for the public their participation protocols for today's meeting.
Good morning. I am the clerk for the State Park and Recreation Commission meeting today. And I will now provide some information about how public participation will be organized for the meeting. In this virtual setting, not everyone is participating via video. Therefore, it is helpful for everyone participating in the meeting, commissioners and staff included, to introduce themselves before speaking. If you wish to speak during a public comment period, you may do so either using the teleconferencing service Zoom or by telephone. Each speaker must register individually and will receive a unique registration link. Multiple speakers are not permitted to pool their comments under one speaker. Therefore, if a name appears more than once, it will only be called once. For registration instructions, see the website parks.ca.gov/commission or call 805-801-3576 for support. Again, that is 805-801-3576. Now, a few details about how speakers will be handled during a public comment period. First of all, our staff will mute all microphones during the meeting unless someone is speaking. If you wish to speak during a public comment period, you will use the raise hand feature in Zoom, or if by telephone, by dialing *9. The raise hand button in Zoom is typically located on the bottom of the screen, and you might need to hover over that area for it to display. Once the public comment period starts, names of commenters will be called in the order displayed on our screen. If you have called in by telephone, only your number will be displayed, so we will call out the last three digits of the phone number. You will not be able to see the names or numbers in the queue. You will not appear on video. When your name or digits are called, your device will be unmuted. Please try to speak from a quiet location to avoid background noise. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. This can be extended by the chair. You will see a timer on the screen. Speakers on the telephone will be alerted at the 45-second mark and when your time is up. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for your participation.
So much, Ms. Beard. Now moving on to agenda item 3, the director's update. Director Armando Quintero, please begin when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair Mapp. Good morning, everyone. And as I said in my first comments, this has been a lifetime in a year. And I have a short list of items that I would like to share with you, beginning with this. And in October, for the first time in over 25 years, State Parks expanded the footprint of Old Town San Diego State Historic Park by transforming a former Caltrans office complex into a new outdoor space that honors the culture of the Kumaye Nation and their longtime relationship with the San Diego River and Old Town San Diego. And by long time, I mean hundreds of generations, back to a time when the people of that region actually occupied places like the Channel Islands and the areas in between, because just 10,000 years ago, our oceans were 300 feet shallower. So the California coastline was very different. State Parks purchased this property and and actually demolished the building. And today it is really an astonishing new model of a park. The first time that I went there last year, I was absolutely heartened to see that all of the exhibitry, when you go to read the information or when there's when you look at the interpretive panels, some of which are tiles that are in the ground, the first language that you see is the Kumaye language. So you can read how to say quail in Kumaye or how to say willow tree in Kumaye. And then the next language is Spanish. And finally, the third language on all of the interpretive panels is in English. And the design of this park was done in partnership with the Kumaye people and includes an area where there can be ceremonial gatherings or celebrations. And it really, I think, signals a really critical way in which we can move forward in California while we elevate and illuminate the full past and history of California. It's a really exciting park, and I was very proud to be there for the opening, which was attended by Kumaye Nation elders, community stakeholders, Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins, State Senator Christine Kehoe, and Caltrans. There were a number of artists there and people who contributed to the project, and it really was an amazing celebration. And closer to home, here in Northern California, in November, we reopened the historic Bridgeport Covered Bridge at the South Yuba River State Historic Park. And that was, it's the oldest covered bridge in California. It was built in 1862, and it really was a project that was made possible by incredible community community support and development and engagement. And so really a credit to that community and to all the funders. And it is really a spectacular bridge. And I would encourage any of you to visit that area next time you're up near Grass Valley. It's really worth, it's worth the visit. and also just weeks ago on Monday, November 29th, I went down to Año Nuevo State Park and Big Basin State Park and met with the Amamutsin tribal band leaders and elders and community members, along with a number of state park people, to do a couple of really important things. We toured the valley that actually, through an MOU that we just signed with the Yamamutsin people, is being managed in partnership with state parks, but primarily by the Yamamutsin tribe. And this is a valley that had the largest village of the Yamamutsin people when the Spanish first arrived. In the historic documents, this valley includes a location where it was documented by the Spanish that there was a building that could hold 200 people. And so in getting this MOU put together, what State Parks is doing is bringing in a formal acknowledgement of the traditional environmental knowledge that comes with this tribe or this band of people. This document codifies our relationship with the Yamamutsin, and it really was a stunning day. And I joined Tribal Chairman Valentine Lopez to sign the MOU. And actually, the picture that you see behind me is the view behind that. It was the view behind Chairman Valentine Lopez and myself when we went to sign the MOU. And it was a beautiful day. There were a number of elders, as I said, and a number of park staff and members of the public that were witnessing the signing of this. And I'd like to just share a really quick story. And that is that just before we signed, after the chairman saying a blessing, I asked if I could tell a quick story, which was this. 16 to 17 years ago, I went to that park with my fourth grade daughter's class so that they could see the elephant seals. And I brought my mom along, who was in the early stages of Alzheimer's. And the students all went to see the elephant seals, and my mom couldn't go all the way down to where they were. So we walked on this trail that you see right behind me. And it was an amazing memory to have in the moment of signing this MOU. Because what happened when I was walking with my mom on that trail is at one point she stopped and she looked at me and she said, "Mijo, is this heaven?" And I said, "Yeah, Mom, it is." And she started dancing like a child. So when I signed the MOU, I looked at the chairman and I said, "So here's to dancing in heaven." And we signed the MOU and had a celebratory lunch. It was just amazing. And again, another example, I think, of what we can do as Californians in engaging and acknowledging many tribes and bands of people whose heritage in California goes back thousands of years in California. Something that we also can all be very proud of is that this year, in part because of COVID, but the ports program reached a milestone of reaching over 1 million students, K-12 students, and bringing them into the outdoors virtually in their homes and in their classrooms. The ports program has just done a stunning job, and it actually took the state parks program or program leaders about 15 years to reach the 500 student or 500,000 student mark. But during this pandemic, we reached another 500,000 students. And right now that program is growing strong and it's expanding. I know that this program is being utilized by students in college and in many other settings to bring the outdoors in. And it's really another wonderful way to let the citizens of California know that these parks are theirs, and also getting people from around California to be able to understand the diversity and the geography of California and places that they may want to visit after seeing them virtually. And just last week, we were able to announce jointly with the Secretary of Interior, Deborah Halland, and the Secretary of Resources, Wade Crowfoot, and the Undersecretary, Angela Barranco, that we announced the awarding of $548.3 million in grants to communities around California to either create or renovate local parks. And virtually every dollar of this program was directed to disadvantaged and park poor communities. Really, it was a stunning event in many ways. We started the day with a roundtable of various groups being present to meet with Secretary Deb Halland and Secretary Wade Crowfoot as we talked about the program of making sure that California is a California for all, and that parks are really, our effort here is to make sure that parks are accessible to everyone in California. And the Outdoors for All initiative really is a number of actions that we are taking. So we have in this roundtable had a discussion of what different groups thought we could do, and also their reflections on the things that we were doing. And I'd like to just share that of the that $548.3 million funded 50 brand new recreation and park facilities, in many cases for communities that were are disadvantaged communities and had virtually no recreational facilities in their communities, which was pretty stunning. And the other 62 recipients that received funds to renovate badly needed improvements for their existing recreational facilities, and in some cases to expand them or to put in new buildings or to replace fields. And again, every one of these dollars went to communities that are park poor communities. And one of the things that I think that is amazing about this is that, you know, when we talk about California State Parks, we talk about 280 parks, but over time, since these grant programs have been in place, there's actually now about 1,800 communities in California that have received grants of up to $8.5 million to create state parks directed funds for localized recreational facilities and parks. And so I think we need to sort of change the message and say not only are there 280 parks, but there's also 1,800 communities with state park supported facilities and areas for communities to enjoy. As it turns out, literally 6 out of 10 people in California do not have easy access to parks. So at state parks, at the resources agency and at the governor's level, we see our charge as being able to make sure that we're making these sorts of experiences available to more people throughout California. And I also think that we have an opportunity to connect people through ports, through these sorts of investments, and let people know that parks in California truly are for all, whether it's at the local level or whether your local park becomes a portal to getting out to other parts of California when you can. Actually, I also mentioned that when we announced, and all of the recipients found out that they had gotten these awards at the very same time. And later that day, after the roundtable with the community groups, Secretary Crowfoot and Undersecretary Barranco and I held a Zoom webinar with all of the community recipients. And I made some opening comments, then Secretary Crowfoot made some comments, and then there was a video that the first partner and the governor recorded for all of the recipients, congratulating them on the awards that they were receiving. And they also provided messages around their initiative and support, their support for California for All. And it was very heartening, but I actually think there were a handful of people that were there with us who got to witness this in real time. And we asked the community recipients to give some commentary about the projects that they were funded. And there were several times in that hour when I think we all choked up in the room, because what we really saw and heard was an amazing reflection of understanding of these communities about the civic process. We heard people talking about how these monies that fund these projects were a product of the voters supporting propositions like Proposition 1 and Proposition 68. And then the legislators advanced that money by crafting legislation to distribute this money. And state parks has been managing those funds for some time now. In fact, since the year 2000, state parks, along with the legislature, has directed $3 billion to communities around California for these kinds of projects. And and then, of course, one of the requirements for these communities to receive these funds is that they need to hold local public workshops so that the public can design and talk about the elements and the recreational facilities that they desire. So it was an amazing repetition of the full cycle of civic engagement, from voting for the dollars to designing their parks, to getting that funding in there, to get those parks built for communities. One of my favorite comments that came up was a planner from a very small community talked about how they brought the community together and everybody was designing elements and talking about what they wanted this park to have. And this particular park included a plan for a skate park. And this planner mentioned that there was this little girl who had just learned how to skateboard and was just in love with the sport. And she designed a skateboard park element that she called the Twinkie. And the final plan actually had a Twinkie in the skate park designed by this little girl and designed by an architect. So that was a sort of civic engagement that we saw being reflected back on us for $500 million of community investments. It's something that I think we can all be really proud of. And I want to make sure to elevate and acknowledge the incredible work that the Office of Grants and Local Services at State Parks does in administering these grants, in holding public workshops, and in vetting an amazing number of applications. We had $548 million to distribute, and we had over $2 billion in proposals that had to be vetted and ranked, and it was a tough job. And this team has been doing this for a long time and for many years, and they're really good at it. And I think that, I know that we recorded that Zoom video if anybody would like to watch a part of it, but it really was astonishingly heartwarming. And as I said to the director or to the Secretary of Resources, it literally was like watching a field of dreams bloom again and again. It was amazing. In terms of the a couple of things relative to Access for All, we did announce recently the Adventure Pass, which is a free pass that fourth graders can get by going online and signing up. And there are 19 parks where this pass will get a fourth grader and their family into those parks. This program included funding for us, for state parks, to be able to hire 19 new interpreters to put together programs at these parks. If you go online and go to the California State Park Adventure Pass, you can find out all about it. The pass is free. And literally within weeks of announcing this pass, I believe there were 7,000 fourth graders in California that had signed up for the pass. And of course, this January, or soon, we're looking forward to announcing another Access for All program in California that's been supported by the legislature, and that is this. State Parks is going to be distributing park passes to every library in California. And so what that means is this: kids in California whose families cannot afford a park entrance fee or a park pass can go and check out a park pass at their local library for a week. And I know that here in Marin County, where they put together a similar program, the park pass that was available at the libraries here for all of the parks in Marin County, county parks, state parks, and national parks, it was the second most checked out item in Marin County library system. So we believe that that's going to be a real home run for Californians. It's going to be a home run for librarians. I'm really looking forward to hearing the stories of librarians embracing this idea and offering up information, books, and materials for students to come to libraries as another access portal to parks. It's just extraordinarily exciting. And two more things. One of them is that our State Park Strategic Plan is ready to go out for review. It's a five-year strategic plan. Many folks in parks have been working on this for a couple of years and is reflective of the transformation effort that we're ongoing that is an ongoing effort with state parks. And in the new year, we will be releasing an administrative draft of this plan. We'll share it with you for your comments, your insights, your recommendations. And we really are looking forward for the feedback so that the department can finalize this plan that reflects both the state parks ideas on what we can do and our park partners' ideas on the things that we should be looking to accomplish within the next 5 years. And having said all that, I mean, there's a lot more going on. And certainly with drought, fire, the pandemic, oil spills, we actually right now are dealing with a second oil spill in Southern California. All of those challenges, I have to tell you, are being met head on by your state parks teams. And I could not be more impressed with the number of issues that are being dealt with every minute of the day across California by park employees at every level. And it is just the most amazing team. And I really feel like one of the great privileges of my life is being able to experience and see this firsthand, to be able to see the behind the scenes work that it takes, and also to be present and to know what happens at the on-scene moments of both celebration and acknowledgement of the very serious challenges that we have ahead of us. So altogether, it's really incredible that we get to elevate the stories, share old and new knowledge, maintain cultural sites. We get to share all people's histories in California by including them. We get to manage the rarest California landscapes and natural systems and strive to keep them direct them to their best health. And we also make sure that Californians know that these parks are theirs for recreation, for exploration, for relaxation, and hopefully for their support. So on behalf of all things parks, my sincere and heartfelt thanks to each of you and your loved ones in these truly extraordinary times. And also, I wish each of you all the best in this new year. And as I hope you can tell by my words, I am absolutely humbled at the privilege of working with you in the service of parks and the people of California. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Director. You know, just listening to your comments, it just occurred to me that, you know, in spite of how challenging it's been this last year and the year before, that the parks have really shined through. And it just brings me tremendous pride to be a part of this body and to celebrate our parks. And thank you for your stories, both personal and with the public, that really help make the why of what we do really, really visible. So thank you for that. So I'd like to move on to agenda item 4, consent item, resolution 2021, honoring Ernest Chung, the late California State Park Commissioner Ernest Chung. I would now like to welcome Alex Stell, Planning Division Chief, and Victor Belayens, North Coast Redwoods District Superintendent, to present agenda item 4, the resolution 2021 honoring Ernest Chung.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Alexandra Stell, the Planning Chief for State Parks, and I have the privilege of presenting a recommendation to approve a resolution recognizing former Commissioner Ernest Ying Chi Chung. Ernest was born in Hong Kong, and at a young age, about 18, he moved to the U.S. to pursue a degree in biochemical engineering, attaining a PhD from Caltech. He joined Chevron Corporation, where he served in several senior management positions until 2001. He then accepted the position of managing director at KPMG Consulting, Bearing Point Inc. And in 2009, Ernest retired and devoted time to advocating for California State Parks. He was a champion of outdoors, dedicated to improving the public's access to and enjoyment of California's landscapes. Next slide, please. Next slide. to share some of Ernest's contributions, I would like to turn it over to Victor Belliant, our North Coast Redwoods District Superintendent.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, for giving me a little bit of time today. I'm going to talk about my relationship with Ernest and the work that he did when he kind of came into our system over in Marin. In 2010, Parks was going through a period where staff were furloughed. In 2011, there was a decision made to close or reduce services at 70 parks across the state. We had four of those parks in Marin County at the time. We were operating that geographic area as Marin District. Parks that were affected were China Camp, Olin Polly, Tomales Bay, and Samuel P. Taylor. We had a friends group that existed, Marin State Park Association, and there were subgroups of that, one of those being Friends of China Camp. Through Ernest's involvement at China Camp as a mountain biker and road biker, he became aware of the closures, and community came out in droves to look at what they could do to support keeping those parks open. One of the first meetings that we had with Marin Park Association, all of the various groups got together and were trying to figure out what to do to support parks in keeping these parks open to the public. Ernest ended up becoming the chair of Friends of China Camp, and after initial meetings, asked for time with me to talk about operation parks. And it wasn't just what can we do to support, it was what staff do you have? What are the rates of pay for staff? What are the consumables that you use in parks? I think it goes to Ernest's character that it was down to the details and down to operations and what he could do to support. Ernest was one that built relationships across boundaries, whether it was state park staff at seasonal level or chairman of a board of an organization. Ernest quickly found that if we were going to support parks, that we were going to have dollars to do it. We were looking for the authority to do that. Senator Huffman at the time created a bill that allowed for operation of state parks by nonprofits. Friends of China Camp stepped up for the operation of China Camp State Park, as well as Tomales State Park and Olin Polly State Park. And then we ended up doing a JPA with GGNRA, National Park Service, for the operation of SB Taylor. But Ernest was instrumental in drafting those agreements. I think it was the first one that went through in the state, and getting organized and raising dollars. For China Camp, he initiated an initiative, Save China Camp. And through Ernest's various contacts, we had an event at Maritime Museum. We had members of San Francisco Symphony that have volunteered their time and played. But it just goes to character. You can see that one picture that's shown. You see Ernest preparing for the event, and then as in his fancy duds with Save China Camp t-shirt, addressing everyone. Ernest was a friend. Ernest was a colleague. Ernest cared deeply about parks. Through the work that he was doing in Marin, he caught the eye of the governor and was appointed to the commission. And I'm sure, I believe Diane had relations with Ernest during this time. In 2015, Ernest had a road bike accident at Mount Tam. And shortly after that, he was rushed down to, ended up going over to down San Jose. I went and saw him shortly after that. And even in a rough state, Ernest was worried about commission meeting that was coming up, who was going to be taking care of it. He at one point was going to resign his position with the commission, and a representative from the governor's office assured him that he wasn't getting off the hook that easy, and still retained an active role with the commission. As I said, Ernest brought disparate groups together. He had a coalition of folks that he would garner support from for supporting our state parks. And even as late as 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, I get love notes from Ernest asking about some aspect of park operations somewhere in the state, always concerned, always giving of his time. I know that Ernest was supported by family members, a lot of family out of Vancouver, BC. I had a chance to meet those wonderful people and just want to add my support to the honoring of Ernest Chung for his contributions to California State Parks and the people of California. And I'll turn it back over to you, Alex.
Thank you, Victor. Next slide, please. As Victor has mentioned, Ernest was appointed to the State Park and Rec Commission and served from 2013 to 2019 and was its chair from 2013 to 2015. Ernest brought his probing questions and analytical abilities to the work of the commission and for the overall improvement of state parks across the state. His steady, confident leadership as commission chair helped state parks make it through a particularly challenging period. Ernest, after his time with the commission, Ernest brought his passion to Monterey County, where he continued to volunteer for state parks. He was also a trustee for Big Sur Land Trust from 2016 to 2019. He worked to provide sustainable solutions for congestion and overcrowded parks from Carmel to Point Lobos to Big Sur through the planning of shuttles, parking lots, and reservation systems. He championed increasing access to state parks for underserved groups and the creation of urban parks in Los Angeles. Ernest was one of the earliest advocates for the reimagining our past renaming effort, believing that we not only needed to, quote, redress and heal California's historic legacy of racism and discrimination as reflected in our parks, unquote, but also needed to, quote, honor and celebrate the rich cultures and histories of Native Americans, Blacks, Latinos, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and other groups that have made California into the proud state we are today, unquote. This is quoted by his article he wrote in partnership with former Commissioner Yanez in October of 2020. Next slide, please. Ernest passed away on January 13th, 2020 from complications from his biking accident. However, his passion and contributions have lived on. California State Parks hosted a blog for those who wanted to share their thoughts on Ernest, and many of the comments spoke to the significant contributions Ernest made to the state. Many shared thoughts on his character and vision. Some of these quotes, as I've added here, he was an insightful and creative man of great intellect who was dedicated to improving the public's access to and enjoyment of the greatest landscapes in the state, and he'll be deeply missed. Bill Craven, Chief Consultant to the California Senate Natural Resource Committee. California State Parks has lost a cherished friend. He'll be missed greatly. Alva Yanez, former State Park and Recreation Commissioner. We were so truly blessed to spend time, converse, laugh, debate, think big thoughts, and reach towards the future with Ernest. He truly inspired and still does. Rachel Saunders, Big Sur Land Trust. And Ernest was a force for good and ideas. I will always remember Ernest as a great convener and appreciate all of his works for parks and open spaces within California. Kathleen Lee, Point Lobos Foundation. Next slide, please. We'll miss the passion that Ernest brought to anything he tackled. He had a way of making connections and lighting fires in others to get problems solved and actions taken. We would like to submit the following resolution to the commission to honor the significant contributions Ernest made during his time. I would like to now read the resolution for the commission. Resolution 2021, adopted by the California State Park and Rec Commission at its virtual meeting on December 17th, 2021. Resolution honoring Ernest Ying Chi Chung. Whereas the State Park and Recreation Commission serves the privilege of honoring those individuals who have made a significant statewide contribution to the state park system. And whereas the SPRC is aware of the many accomplishments and contributions of Ernest Ying Chi Chung, including his term as a member of the State Park and Rec Commission from 2013 to 2019, including chairperson from 2013 to 2015. And whereas his contributions to the preservation of China Camp State Park through the creation of the Friends of China Camp, successfully raising the funds to maintain the park and implementation of a long-term operating agreement with the state parks to keep China Camp open to the public. And whereas Ernest's commitment to championing the increase of access to state parks for underserved groups, his advocacy in promoting inclusion and equity throughout our state park properties, and his promotion of collaboration and partnerships in the management and operation of state parks units has resulted in significant contributions statewide. And whereas during his term on the State Park and Rec Commission and throughout his life, Ernest displayed a steady and confident leadership, passion for collaboration, and vision for the future of state parks. And now there be it resolved that the State Park and Rec Commission would like to formally extend its most sincere gratitude for the significant contributions of Ernest Ying Chi Chung to the California Department of Parks and Recreation and the state of California through the presentation of this resolution. And be it resolved that the California State Parks and Rec Commission extends its most sincere gratitude to the considerable contributions of Ernest Ying Chi Chung to the Department of Parks and Recreation and the residents of the state of California. Attest that this resolution was duly adopted by the California State Park and Recreation Commission on December 17, 2021 at the Commission's duly noticed virtual public hearing to be signed by Armando Quintero, Director of California State Parks, Secretary to the Commission. Thank you very much for joining me in this presentation, and I will turn it back over to Madam Chairperson.
Wow. Thank you so much, Alex and Victor. I would now like to invite the public to share their comments regarding the resolution honoring the late Ernest Chung.
Lynn Paulson, welcome. Please unmute your microphone and begin. There you go. Okay.
My name is Lynn Paulson. I first met Ernest in 2013 when he was appointed to serve on the commission. I was impressed by his attentiveness in the meetings and the depth of his comments in those meetings. Your commission represents the public as specified in legislation. Ernest was an exemplary model for that public representation. He asked challenging questions, but I appreciated Ernest's accessibility to meet with me as a member of the public. He had such a passion for state parks and nature. I support the commission giving recognition to Ernest today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Do we have other speakers on behalf of Ernest Chung? Oh, Ryan Chung, please unmute your microphone.
Hi there. My name is Ryan Chung. Ernest was my uncle from one of his nephews. I just wanted to take the time on behalf of the family to thank everybody for remembering and honoring Ernest in this way. Preservation of the land itself, but also the free use of land for the public was something that he was really passionate about. I actually was lucky enough to work alongside Ernest in the early days at the Friends of China camp with designing the collateral that you guys saw. So some of the banners, the t-shirts that were all used to help with public awareness. Back then we were just trying to save a park that him and I loved mountain biking at, but to see where it led him in kind of some of his final work was great. The fact that everyone that he worked with is remembering him in his passing in this way is fantastic for us. We love the fact that you guys included the picture of the car. That was a car that him and I were supposed to build together before his accident. So he never got to work on it with me, but that photo was the one and only time he got to go out in it. So you see his name on the door and said Yi Chung, and the 52 was put on the car in honor of the year that he was born. But really wanted to thank everybody for recommending this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Marian Solis-Connell, please unmute your microphone.
Good morning, commission and staff. My name is Marian Solis-Coronel, and I'm grateful to be part of the day celebrating the incredible life of Ernest Chung. I had the gift of joining the California State Parks Commission at the same time that Ernest was appointed. It was my first appointment, and he was an incredible friend and mentor to me. My favorite things about Ernest are rooted in good intent, his thought-provoking questions that challenge the status quo, his curiosity, and his genuine sense of inclusion. So his incredible partnership inspired so many, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be with him, to learn from him. He was such an incredible, wonderful human. Thank you for remembering and honoring someone that, in my opinion, that truly helped Parks be a better place, not just for staff, but for all visitors today and in the future. And with that, I would like to support this resolution in his honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Madam Chair, all comments have been heard.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Liz, Ryan, and Miriam. Those were very, very important comments for us to hear and bring us all just to this, you know, moment of joy in remembering his passion for our California state parks. So thank you for your public comments. I'd now call to close the public comment period. And again, much appreciation for your stories and memories of the late Commissioner Chung. And now I would like to welcome Commissioner Statements. Commissioner Wittenberg.
Thank you. I've spoken about Ernest at our meetings before, and I think Alex's resolution and the comments from the public and Miriam have characterized him well. So I just want to wish forward for all of this commission that we can be as effective and as dedicated as Ernest in this job as commissioner, and it will make our own lives more meaningful to ourselves and the rest of the world. So with that wish, I also support the resolution.
Thank you, Commissioner Wittenberg. Any other comments? I'd like to just quickly add my own. I consider the ancestors often in my work. And when I think about leadership and leaders like Ernest Chung, you know, I stand on the shoulders of people like him who also ushered me into this body, making contact initially from a public meeting involving the Parks Forward and the reimagining of California State Parks. And you know, and I was basically just a blogger at the time. You know, there was not a real like there for Outdoor Afro, but he recognized in me the potential to contribute. And I think that it's so important for us to, as leaders, stay in touch with the community, listen to all the voices out there, and welcome with open arms opportunities for new leadership. And I always, you know, believe that, you know, we talk a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but it's really by design and intention, and it starts with leadership. And so I'm honored to be among you all as leaders and to carry the torch of the tireless dedication and purpose-driven life that Ernest embodied. And sad, you know, but touching that he succumbed to injuries because of his love for the outdoors. He was a part of enjoying our natural world and championed that for everyone. And I hope that we all can live such a purpose-driven life and be able to give ourselves over in a way that's transformative, but also leaves a legacy such as what he's done. So I enthusiastically support this resolution.
Director Quintero has his hand raised.
Director Quintero, please.
Thank you, Chair Mapp. Just a couple things. I knew Ernest long before I got involved with state parks in this role. and worked with him on the creation of OneTAM. And also as a resident of San Rafael and as a mountain biker, I was very aware of his efforts at China Camp. And in fact, I don't know if you can see this. Let me see if I can. There's my pass for mountain biking in China Camp. And actually, what I would like to do is extend an invitation to Ryan, if he's still listening, to go for a mountain bike ride with you at China Camp in honor of your uncle. And it doesn't have to be just once. I mean, the impact that he's had on this community is really profound. In fact, the last mountain bike ride I did was at China Camp. It's in my neighborhood. And he really, and to what you just said, Chair Mapp, I think about learning from our ancestors and thinking about that hopefully makes us better ancestors. And I couldn't agree with all the words that have been said more. And really heartfelt thanks to all of you for supporting this. And honestly, when this passes and I sign it, I will be signing it with all of you. It's not just me, it's all of you signing that. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Director. Any other comments?
I move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
We have a motion to adopt the resolution. And the motion's been seconded. It's been seconded by, is moved by Commissioner Wittenberg, seconded by Commissioner Ginsburg. Clerk, if you may, please take roll call vote.
Okay, Chair Mapp.
Aye.
Vice Chair Ginsburg.
Aye.
Commissioner Bakewell.
Aye.
Commissioner Barth.
Aye.
Commissioner Mahdi.
Aye.
Commissioner Toy.
Aye.
And Commissioner Wittenberg.
Aye.
Resolution 2021 honoring Ernest Chung is approved by a unanimous vote of 7 in support.
Thank you all. Thank you for your vote. And thank you again for the incredible comments uplifting the memory and legacy of the late Commissioner Ernest Chung. At this time, I would like to have us, we have in our agenda a 10-minute break. I'd like to, if I may, reduce it to 5 to give us a chance to take care of our personal needs, get some refreshments, stretch our bodies, and resume at 10, no later than 10:05. We'll now move on to agenda item number 5, re-examining our past initiative. And this is an update regarding the re-examining of our past initiative. Alex Stell, Planning Division Chief, please begin when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you could please, if AV could please pull up the presentation for this agenda item. Thank you again, Commission. I'm Alex Stell, Planning Chief for California State Parks. And State Parks continues to take stock of it, and it's critically re-examining our past, looking specifically at contested histories related to place names, monuments, and interpretation in state parks. Today's presentation and accompanying staff reports introduces California State Parks Re-examining Our Past Initiative draft process for addressing renaming efforts for park geographic features and facilities. This effort is essential not only for considering current concerns and interpretations of our collective past, but for providing guidance for state parks' future management. We'll discuss roles and responsibilities for decision-making, including the role of the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names and the U.S. Board of Geographic Names. and especially the California State Parks and Rec Commission role in reviewing and recommending approval for requests for consideration of name changes for park units, as well as memorial groves and trails, and in special cases that warrant the commission's attention. The hope here is that we'll be able to introduce you to the process that we're proposing and gain some input from the commission on how you guys would like to be involved, additional ways that you can be involved in this process. Now I'd like to introduce Jason McCannell. He is Special Assistant to the Director for Research and Development. He's been with the State Park since 2018 when he joined us from the Governor's Office, where he served since 2011. He has a PhD in Geography from UC Davis, and his primary role at Parks prior to joining the Reexamining Our Past team has been directing the Digital Atlas of California Native Americans under an interagency agreement with the Native American Heritage Commission. And we can provide a link to that atlas if the commissioners are interested. Next slide, please.
Thank you so much, Alex. Happy to be here today, commissioners. Today we're focusing our discussion on the renaming process for place names, which is not the entire picture for reexamining our past. It's just one of the pieces of it. An internal staff survey was conducted in June 2020. This was a very brief survey that went out to district superintendents who self-reported what they believed were contentious histories, places and other facilities, aspects of their parks and their districts that had potentially contentious histories that might cause calls coming from some venue, either internally or externally, to either change a name or change other aspects of the park. So today we're just looking at place names, really, within that lime green band. They represented about, exactly 28% of the contentious histories that were identified in that survey. And we're going a little bit more in depth now with that internal analysis, as I'll get to later in the presentation. So the categories that we were looking at in the survey included noting whether geographic features, places like park and subunit names, along with road and trail names, might be contentious. The Strategic Planning and Recreation Services Division is specifically tasked with and responsible for coordinating the redress of place names, and will do so in collaboration with the Reexamining Our Past multidisciplinary team that includes representatives from the director's office, that would be me, among others, cultural resources, interpretation and education, and the communications divisions, as well as legal office staff counsel. Could I get the next slide, please? So the different kinds of place names, it's kind of a complex, multi-layered situation with place names. There are several different kinds of place names that may require redress, including both facilities, which would be the names of things like park units, subunits, and then things like roads, trails, visitor centers, campgrounds, and then geographic features such as beaches, mountains, rivers, et cetera, that are within a park unit, within park boundaries. And so while natural features within a unit might not figure as facilities within the state park's geographic information systems database, they're frequently named in other forms of information that state parks provides to physical and virtual visitors, such as printed or printable maps and written guides. So we have to be concerned with both the names of our facilities, which are largely either under administrative or commission control, as we'll get to, as well as natural features that fall under a different authority. You can see in the slide which authorities are responsible for changing these different kinds of place names. And it's very complicated too, because sometimes a park unit will actually be both, or a park property will be both, that you will have both, because the national map includes both natural and artificial features. You might have a state park that is both a facility within our database to be renamed and a feature on the national map that falls under the federal renaming process. Next slide, please. Let's briefly review the authority to act for that first category, geographic features. We're going to spend most of our time today talking about the commission's role, but this is important because there's a lot of interconnections between the state and federal processes. The Board of Geographic Names administers and maintains the list of geographic names on behalf of the federal government. Anyone may submit name change proposals directly to this body, anyone, any member of the public. State governments are invited to review and make recommendations on proposed name changes. So if something comes before the Board of Geographic Names at the federal level, there's a committee that was established by the California Natural Resources Agency called the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names. And they serve as the professional body to coordinate and make recommendations to the Board of Geographic Names at the federal level. A representative from State Parks serves on the Committee on Geographic Names and coordinates, as we'll see, with the Reexamining Our Past team under the leadership of Strategic Planning and Recreational Services Division. And on that note, I will turn it back to Alex. Next slide, please.
Thank you, Jason. So as you may recall from our presentation to the Commission in March of this year, that the California Public Resources Code 5019.59 provides authority to the Commission to name historical units appropriately and individually. Note that the Commission's policy recognizes that the State Parks Director has authority to name features within a unit, including recognition of deserving individuals or groups, organizations, or other entities. Moreover, names so selected may be altered or changed by the director as conditions warrant. This policy would apply to administrative names separate from those governed by the Federal Board of Geographic Names, as noted above. Next slide, please. Now we'd like to walk you through a draft renaming process flowchart, breaking it down as we go, first by geographic feature, then by park unit or subunit, and finally by other administrative park features. In all cases, whether they are external or internal, requests for renaming consideration start at the district. Districts alert Strategic Planning and Recreation Services Division of the redress request for renaming. The request is logged by SPRSD, and the district receives guidance on the appropriate process to follow, depending on whether the request is for a geographic feature, park unit, or park facility renaming consideration. Next slide, please. Now we'd like to walk you through the draft renaming process flowchart, breaking it down as we first go by geographic feature, then by park unit or memorial grove trail, and finally by other administrative features and park facilities. All external and internal requests for renaming considerations as started at the district where geographic feature, peak, etc., park or facility exists. Districts alert the strategic planning of the redress request for renaming. And after it's logged, we provide them additional guidance on how we would follow the request for the geographic feature and park unit or park facility name. I think I might have just repeated myself, but I'm sorry about that, folks. Next slide, please. The geographic features name. For geographic feature name, State Parks, on behalf of the district and with the assistance of the division, submits a name change proposal or response to external name change proposals to the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names, which coordinates and makes recommendations to the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, as Jason had described. If the BGN, the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, receives a request to change a natural feature name in California, it will advance that request to be reviewed by the California Committee of Geographic Names for consideration. The purpose of the California Committee of Geographic Names is to provide recommendations to the Board of Geographic Names regarding California names for official use in federal publications. If the requested area is on state parks property, the CACGN will typically ask State Parks to comment on the request. Usually both the CACGN and BGN will only consider geographic name changes that are supported by the local community and the landowner. So what's important here for us to remember is even though the Board of Geographic Names or the California Committee might get requests, they will coordinate with the landowner on selection of the appropriate names and let the landowner go through their naming selection process. Next slide, please. For park units, subunits, and park feature names, the district works with the division and the Cultural Resources Division for assistance in determining cultural relevancy, sensitivity, and history of the park. If the request is not supported, the department evaluated and determined not sufficient justification for consideration of name change at this time. We update the inquirer. If the request is supported, Planning and Acquisition Committee and the Advisory Committee are notified and review evaluation prior to stakeholder and community engagement. And this is one of the areas where we'd like to see some additional participation from the Commission if they are interested in the development of this Advisory Committee, where we would like to have some external participation in helping with the research and selection of these names. Next slide, please. When we come to renaming park units and subunits, the district or the team works specifically with the Cultural Resources Division to research the existing name, engages with the stakeholders who have an interest in the existing name, and provides support for community engagement. Subject matter experts team is established to help with research and background context to understand the historical context. Subject matter experts may include tribal nation, culture keepers, scholars, experts, historians, etc. Staff reports are drafted and include short list of proposed names, and the district and ROP team meets with the advisory committee to present a short list of proposed names for discussion and guidance. Next slide, please. With the assistance from the ROP team, the district recommends to the State Parks Director the proposed new name. State Parks provides public notice, posting in newspapers 30 days from the public meeting, a press release, webpage updates, e-blast, and social media announcements. This is what we experienced in September when we were looking at the renaming of Sume State Park. Next slide, please. The director then makes a presentation for the name change at a scheduled public meeting of the California State Park and Rec Commission, and the commission can approve, ask for changes, or deny. Next slide, please. For park facility names, such as roads, trails, picnic areas, campings within the state park, the district can go directly to the director with a proposed name change request. Now, for those requests that might have statewide significance, the director may opt to send to the commission for additional input and guidance. Next slide, please. So currently we have a few other renaming requests underway. We've got some good examples here of different types of requests. We've got one for Stonewall Peak, which is a geographic feature in Cuyamaca Ranch, Rancho State Park within the Colorado Desert District. Both the district and the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names have received renaming requests for the Stonewall Peak, and the Federal Board of Geographic Names has asked for state parks' opinions and recommendations regarding the renaming. So this is a good example of the collaboration that will need to happen for a geographic feature. We also have the Anderson Marsh State Historic Park. This vast ancient California Native American ancestral landscape along the southeast shoreline of Clear Lake is managed by Northern Buttes District. Staff continue to conduct tribal consultation and stakeholder engagement, gather information from subject matter experts, research, and prepare the necessary documentation that will be presented at the future commission hearing for the commission to have final decision on the name change. And finally, we have the Negro Bar Day Use Facilities within Folsom Lake State Recreation Area and is managed by the Goldfield District. This district has updated their webpage to receive statewide public input on the proposed renaming of the day use facility. And this is a good example of a administrative feature that can be renamed by the director or potentially may be advanced to the commission for further guidance. Next slide, please. Now I'd like to turn it back over to Jason to talk about the internal analysis.
Yes, thank you, Alex. I mentioned the survey that was conducted last year. We're doing a much more in-depth internal analysis of place names within state parks that is based on the state parks geodatabase, as well as the geographic names information system that contains all the names on the national map that are under BGN authority to change, cross-indexing them both with each other and with various lists we have of both derogatory terms that have been identified by various communities as ones that should not be on the map, as well as problematic figures from the history of California whose names may be on features, not just from the history of California, from the history of the country, as in people like Stonewall Jackson, who may be problematic for a lot of communities in the state. So that's the ongoing internal analysis that's happening. We anticipate, and I think Alex sort of foreshadowed this a little bit, we are anticipating cases in which it may be appropriate for state parks to approach the committee, CACGN, the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names, to conform a feature name on the national map with a decision by the commission or the director to change a facility name within parks. And you see a really good example on the screen, your recent action to change the name of Sumeg, or what was Patrick's Point, to Sumeg. As a state park name, park unit name. So it's the name Patrick's Point still exists as a geographic feature on the national map and will continue to exist until the Board of Geographic Names acts to change the name. So while CACGN has its own resources to support a proposal like this, we anticipate that some effort by state park staff will still be called for in these cases, given the information and expertise that's already been developed for the internal name change process. And I will ask for the next slide, please, and turn it over to Alex for our conclusion.
Thank you, Jason. So now we'd like to open it up for discussion and questions and comments on the draft renaming process. As we, you know, discussed, we've got three different tracks we're kind of looking at here. You know, they're very intertwined, so they do reference each other back and forth, but we tried to make this flowchart to be, you know, a little, to try to make it as clear as possible so you could see the different ways that these renaming efforts can move through to completion. And the geographic features, of course, are, you know, they're points, valleys, mountains, peaks that are inside our properties, but not under our authority for renaming, but we're able to coordinate with the Board of Geographic Names and the California Advisory Committee of Geographic Names. I'm very sorry for how long all these titles are, in order to get them addressed. You know, and so like we had already mentioned, the district gets this request and submits it. The Reexamining Our Past team provides support and informs the Geographic Names team, both California Advisory and the Board of Geographic Names. And then the California Advisory Committee on Geographic Names sends that renaming request to the board and works through their process. And then they return the response. And if they're, you know, should, which is likely to happen, they want to work with us on selecting the name, we then go through this process that we would go through for creating our own administrative names, working with our PAC and advisory committee, working with our stakeholders and the districts in order to select those names, and then we present them to the Board of Geographic Names for final approval. And then, of course, you're very familiar with the park unit and subunit, you know, that moves through our PAC and advisory committee after its analysis with the ROP and the district teams. We go through stakeholder and, you know, subject matter expert engagement. We form a director recommendation, and then we move that forward to the commission for decision. And then, of course, just to summarize again, the park facility, these are administrative names of park facilities and features that we are able to work internally to correct, move to the director with the support of the Reexamining Our Past team. Should the director decide that these changes might be of significance to the state, he may then suggest it be pushed to the previous flowchart and brought to the commission for review. If not, we might move forward with immediately changing the name. And so really, we wanted to, one, let you know that this is the process we've defined at this point, wanted to get some feedback on that. I know it gets a little complicated, but also we wanted to get input from the commission on their level of interest in being involved in, you know, other areas of this Reexamining Our Past effort. You know, not solely just if it's a park unit, a subunit name, where of course it has to go through the commission, but also maybe creating a subcommittee and serving on the advisory committee group, the external group that will help us with the renaming effort for other features that might not be going through the commission's authority. So with that, I will turn it back over to Madam Chair and await for any questions.
Thank you so much. This is fantastic and exciting. I very much appreciate the detail and your due diligence. And I will look forward to hearing from other commissioners after we hear from the public. We will now hear public comments regarding the re-examining our past initiative presentation. If you wish to speak to this agenda item, please raise your hand in Zoom or dial *9 on your telephone, and staff will call your name when it is your turn to speak. And again, commissioners, we will engage in a discussion after hearing all the comments and when comments are formally closed. So I do see some hands up, and we will circle back to the commission after public comment.
Currently, there are no raised hands to speak to this agenda item. Oh, Marian Solis Cornell, please unmute your microphone and begin to 3 minutes of public comment.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Marian Solis Cornell, Director of Community Engagement with Parks California. And as an organization, we're encouraged by the commission's ongoing prioritization of this initiative, re-examining our past, to ensuring that California state parks are welcoming and provide a sense of belonging for all visitors. As a statutory partner of California state parks and an organization dedicated to strengthening parks and inspiring all to experience these extraordinary places, we're energized by the recent actionable outcomes seen at the last commission meeting for Sumeg State Park, and would also like to acknowledge the department's additional efforts aligned with this project. As you know, this initiative is multi-layered. Parks California is providing support to the department's history and relevancy program, which creates park partnerships with academic institutions to uncover and share a more accurate and comprehensive narrative of the events that occurred in state parks. By telling more stories, parks will have an opportunity to connect with a broader and more diverse set of visitors and strengthening the relationship that people have with parks. In partnership with the department, we're also launching two pilots in early 2022 to help parks tell a more equitable historical narrative of these lands. The first one is training for park interpreters to engage in telling a more inclusive and difficult history. The second one is increasing the number of parks available on a soon-to-launch cultural heritage app to engage new generation of visitors through history and innovative technology. We look forward to continuing our partnership to advance the work of re-examining our past, sharing untold stories, and creating relevant parks so that all visitors can connect to these wonderful places. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Chair Mapp, I believe we've heard all public comment.
Thank you, and thank you, Marian, for your thoughtful comment here. I now call to close the public comment period for agenda item number 5. Again, thank you for your comments. Are there any questions and comments from the commissioners? I see Commissioner Ginsburg, Commissioner Mahdi, Commissioner Barth, if you can, and Commissioner Wittenberg, if you can please speak in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. I didn't quite understand, the chart is gone, but I think it was the facility park at the park facility level where there was this decision that's made between something with statewide significance and something without. And if it has statewide significance, then it moves towards the flow chart that involves the parks, park units, and subunits. What's an example of a facility with statewide significance versus one without? And is there actually criteria that staff is using to evaluate that?
We don't have a, thank you very much, Commissioner Ginsburg, for your question. We don't have any criteria developed yet. I think really what we'd be leaning on is how much input we're gaining from the public statewide. You know, some of these features like a trail name, we might have a trail in a park that's not very well known, but it has a discriminatory name. We can just change that. The director can just decide to change it. We don't need to go through any public rigmarole, you know, for something so minor. However, we've got other locations that have an example would be Negro Bar that we have heard internationally from people about, you know, and that is something that we're hearing coast to coast from, you know, there's a lot of interest in what's happening in with that location. And although it's a feature in a park, it's gained such significance statewide that there might be the opportunity to bring it to the commission for further review. So that right now is an example of one where we would probably want to, I don't want to speak out of turn, but we would probably want to bring it to the commission for further input.
It just seems like, and that's totally reasonable. It just seems like whatever sort of final policy is adopted that there might be just, you know, and whatever staff thinks is appropriate, but just some sort of guidance for what is a, park, you know, facility that might create some state significance. And it could just be that based on the amount of feedback we're hearing, but there should be something that describes that. Thanks.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that feedback. And that's probably something we'd want to develop. I'd also like to state that some of these features are dependent on some of the naming of our features are dependent on location features or geographic features. So if you have a peak, the road or the trail around that peak is typically going to be named after that peak. And so some of these things, once the peak's renamed, will automatically cause a cascading effect where a domino effect where these other features will be renamed to be consistent won't necessarily need to go out for additional discussion because the discussion will have already happened around the geographic feature or the major feature that was changed.
I had a very similar question to Commissioner Ginsburg, so I appreciate you asking that because I was just curious about the threshold about what significant means for a facility. Alex, could you also, for me, help? It would be helpful to understand, like I understand the park unit. Can you give a description of what a park subunit looks like? Or what when we say subunit, what you mean?
A subunit is a section that's within a park unit. So as you know, we have park unit classifications and every one of that, we also have a handful of subunit classifications that can be inside a park unit. So I could have a state recreation area that has a couple of natural preserves for more protection of those smaller areas inside the larger unit property. And I can provide you again with, you know, some of these definitions because it does get a little complicated. But this is something we keep in mind when you're doing your general planning process and you're looking at general plans. Some examples of that would be when we did Carmel, you know, you had your major park units, but then we also had some natural and cultural preserves inside those park units for an additional level of protection. So those also get named. And those, when those are named, they're considered classifications like a park unit. So those go through the commission because you're responsible for the naming of the classification unit and the naming of the subunits within our units. And those are outlined in the Public Resources Code, you know, on the different types of units and subunits. So a subunit cannot exist outside of a park unit. And two subunits can't exist inside each other, if that makes sense. So you have one large unit, and then you could have little areas, islands of subunits inside for different levels of protection of the resources.
Can a subunit be a geographic area?
It could be. We might have a peak. Or a valley that has some sensitive resource, and we might have created a subunit around that valley. And then, you're right, you know, the name of that subunit might be Long Valley, and because that's the name of the valley. And if we change the valley name or the subunit name, we'd want to try and make it consistent with each other. So, you know, like the perfect example that Jason gave was the Sume State Park, but we still have this geographic feature in the middle of our park called Patrick's Point. So now we've got to work through that process with the Board of Geographic Names and the California Advisory Committee of Geographic Names on seeing about getting that changed so it's consistent with our naming convention.
Okay. And then I just wanted to express interest on supporting you all in this effort. So if there's anything I can do as part of the commission, would love to be more engaged.
Thank you.
Commissioner Barth.
Thanks, Alex and Jason. This process is way more complicated than I had initially appreciated, but I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. And it's important. I understand understand why it needs to be so complicated. A request and then a question. My request is, and I think we discussed this at the last commission meeting, so I may be repeating, but anyway, it would be really helpful for you all to share with us at some point, or to be in dialogue with us if that's the role you want the commission to play, around the criteria that you're using in analyzing these things. Because last time, the choice seemed really clear, and I think there was a lot of unanimity among the commission about the name change. And I've gotten tremendous feedback, but all positive, about that name change. But I know there are going to be many that will be more nuanced. And so helping us think about this in a way, or at least helping us understand how you're thinking about these decisions. So this is not what process you use, but sort of what criteria and analytic considerations. I think we will then be better positioned to make decisions when you ask us to make decisions. So just a request. And then my question is, this feels like it could take forever to get this whole thing done. And so I'm curious how you're setting priorities. I saw that you had several places, features, units, I'm not using the right term, that are up next in the queue, but I'm curious, Alex, how are you prioritizing these? And do you all have a timeline for completion of this? Or is it going to just sort of go on for years and years and years? Because I'm just worried about getting people's hopes and expectations up. And then, you know, the process just drags on and it takes years and momentum is lost. And I think about like how many general plans there are out there that have yet to be done just because of limitations on park staff capacity. So anyway, could you give us some thoughts on the timeline that you all are working under and how you're thinking about prioritization?
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure the director will probably chime in a little bit on this as well. For prioritization, currently we're working on what we've done is, you know, this is an effort that was, you know, really formulated. We've been working in different areas for a few years, but something that really came to a cohesive, you know, effort was last year. And so currently we have current staff, you know, we have our current staff working on this who have other workloads. The intent is that we would like to get resources to formulate a team that focuses on this effort, just for the very reasons you said. We know it's important. We know some of these, you know, we don't want this to drag out for years and years and years for some of these locations. When it comes to, so that's something we're working towards. So currently the team that's working on this now, we've committed to trying to address those issues, those areas that have already been brought to our attention, as well as any areas that have very discriminatory or aggressive terms that we know we need to just remove from our system altogether. So we've taken on that as our prioritization, knowing that we're going to get additional requests, and some of those requests might have to wait until we have a designated team to really focus on this. When it comes to timeline, this is going to be an ongoing effort for many years, just because of how many locations we're talking about, not to mention what gets brought to our attention as a name that might be offensive. We did that initial evaluation, but that does not mean that we didn't miss a name that we had no idea the context, or, you know, we're talking about thousands and thousands of names that have been filtered through, and we've identified what we think and what we've already heard from folks as being necessary for evaluation. But that doesn't mean new suggestions might not come in. When you're talking about, so this is something that we're looking long-term and names is only a small part of it, right? This actually is larger than just naming our features. We need to tell our stories more effectively, and that's going to be in our interpretive services. It's going to be in our training. You know, there's a lot of this that goes above and beyond and will have a life of its own and continue for you know, as long as necessary, because we'll always have new stories coming in and out that we need to focus on and be made aware of. When we're talking about individual projects, you've got some very good examples in front of you with Sume. You know, that was something we were able to do in a year because of the type of support we had from the district, the community, and most people were on board with the name change. They knew exactly what they wanted to change. The request had been out there. We were able to move forward with that. We have another example like Negro Bar, where that's been taking a few years. We're hoping to be able to wrap that up soon because we've done that research with the community. We're working now with statewide research with scholars to make sure that we're capturing that perspective. You know, but that one was a little bit more difficult because people weren't on the same page. You had folks who did not want the name change and you had folks that did want the name change. And so there had to be that collaboration before the decision finally came about. And now, you know, really working on selecting that name. So some of these, you know, the timeline is very different for every location, depending on the passion and the amount of public, you know, desire and you know, whether or not it's something that we feel is, and I don't like to say minor or major, but there, it's really hard to describe this because one little trail could mean the world to somebody and, you know, and a whole park name could not mean the world to somebody. So it just, it's hard to gauge that until we have them in front of us and we actually start those discussions with our stakeholders and the public to gauge how important this is. I definitely agree so far with both you and Commissioner Ginsburg. We are hoping to develop criteria. We've only got a couple of projects that we've actually been able to move forward on as our examples, but we know as this progresses, we're probably going to have a level of criteria that we'll have to go through because there's going to be different examples here and there that we've got to be able to have some kind of thresholds that we are looking at. So hopefully that
answers. For a reality check, you mentioned that you have a list that you've already prioritized. How many units are we talking about?
You saw that list. You know, those
are that's the list that's sort of on your radar screen now. Okay.
Yeah. Those are the ones that we have already had input with from the public. And so we've already been working towards. And so right now, those are the three. We might get some more, you know, but those right now are the three that we'd like to get taken care of.
Far less than I would have thought. I thought you might have had a, you know, backlog of 100 names or something. So that's good to hear. Thank you. Thanks, Alex.
Can I add a couple of things?
Commissioner Wittenberg has her hand up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I was pretty much channeling Commissioner Barth there. I think this is very good information, helps us understand the process. And I hope the next step is, and that we, the commission, can be helpful, or those who'd like to be, is to be to layer on top of the process piece, the criteria or the proactive piece, what we are looking for when we do make changes. And the commission started to do this some time ago, and it, like many things, it sort of petered out, but I'd love to see it revisited. For example, I'm just making this up. I'm not even endorsing this as an approach, but I'd like to see a document that says something like, here are things we think are very important to name, geographical, to have a lot of geographical features highlighted in our names because people can remember them, or they're easier to find, or they're not politically as explosive as others. Or we want historical names that represent types of peoples who lived here 100 years ago and longer, but we don't want any names that are 100 years and sooner, or something like that. Or we want poetic names like Singing Trees Valley that we look for, you know, we would look kindly on those kinds of poetic names. Or that Dilla story. I thought that that Director Quintero's story was great, and I'd love to see Dancing in Heaven Valley with a little interpretation about that. So if we could, I'm not endorsing any of those particular criteria, but if we could have a section of this that says, these are the kinds of things we are looking for, we will favor. We're not saying that there won't be exceptions in any particular case, but gives directions both to the commission and to the staff and to the public about where we'd like to go, which also might speed up the process.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Wittenberg. And I guess I should clarify, that is what we're hoping to get from the advisory committee. So once we convene this external advisory committee, we're hoping that they help us in developing these criteria. And you're absolutely correct about the naming conventions. The commission does have naming conventions that does outline some of the process, and maybe that's something we look at and we expand those or redefine them more for this effort. I know that Director Quintero wanted to say something as well.
Director.
Okay, hey, thanks. Thank you, Jason and Alex, for the presentation and the answers to the questions that you've given. It's really good and thorough. You know, there are several things that I just want to, or a handful of things that I wanted to mention. One of them is that the governor is actually pushing for statewide reconsideration or reexamination of names. For example, the Department of Transportation has a huge task ahead of itself with all of the roadways and such. So we are a part of something larger in California as we look at landscapes, which I think you may have mentioned, but I just wanted to put a pin on that. And another thing that was really interesting in that Jason and I have been corresponding, and you know, a lot of the work that he's done has been to clarify whether a name has an attachment to the person that we think it has an attachment to. You know, names like Smith, or you know, there are all these common names. And so some of the work that this group is doing is disassociating the name from the character that may be a, you know, sort of the, you know, a name that could cause concern. And you know what I really like about this is the opportunity to tell a fuller story of these places, you know. And the other thing is that, you know, in terms of naming conventions, I think it's going to be really interesting to look at our sister land management agencies and some of the things that they are doing, which we may want to emulate. And I'll give one example. At Sequoia National Park, there is a trail right in the giant forest at an area called, for a long time, just called Round Meadow. And it is an area that features some of the best range of trees and features of giant sequoia forests in the Sierra. And in the 90s, that park redesigned that trail, and it's now called a trail for all people. And, you know, when I saw that, I thought, wow, maybe we should just have that as an option for every park where we have a trail for all people, you know, as opposed to the accessible trail or something like that. And actually, what I love about this park, it's just as an example in Sequoia, is that it truly has exemplary examples of the features that that park is set up to protect. It's not just some, you know, some accessible, and I don't mean this to be disparaging, but a trail that just says, oh, this is for everybody, and it's not really significant. And so I think this opportunity really offers some interesting challenges for us as we go forward. And as Commissioner Wittenberg mentioned, I really like the idea, of course, of thinking about the natural features whose names we can highlight, you know, in parks. So I think this is going to be a really interesting and ongoing issue. And then lastly, you know, I think this is just going to be a part of the work that we do going forward in perpetuity, because as cultures change and as language changes, there are words that we might be uncomfortable with, which in a future date, people are not as uncomfortable with it. Because I think, as we've seen in many communities, communities are doing a really good job of owning names that in the past have been disparaging and made them acceptable, you know. And so it's a, and that whole story is just really powerful, I think, for what we can do in making parks really not just a reflection of what the parks themselves are, but also a reflection of parks, or of parks being a reflection of societies and generations. I think it's really, it's a trip. I mean, and it just, it really is. So anyway, thank you all for your questions. Thank you, Jason and Alex. And those of you on your teams who are working so hard on this, it's just really, really illuminating, which I really enjoy. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Director, Commissioners, all of your comments. I just would offer something that comes to mind as a watch out as we are in our capsule here talking about renaming the third rail-ness of it, if you will, in that I think we'll have to
absolutely engage public, the public in a different way, maybe have some very solid public relations strategy around this, because it's a topic that you know, it can have unintended consequences. You know, we all, I think, are in agreement of the importance of renaming to illustrate histories and people and natural features. And there's a whole wide world of perspective out there about why we should not do that. And so I want to, you know, not be unduly influenced by extreme points of view, but I do want to encourage any way that I can be a part of the committee and help to take care of the public relations perspectives that this would necessarily have to include, in my opinion. So thank you all. This has been great. Alex, tremendous work. Very, very enlightening. And I loved all the questions. If we may, if there are no other questions or comments, I'd like to move on to agenda item number 6. Sarah, I do see your hand up.
Yeah, can I ask one more question? Sorry, colleagues. It is really important, and I totally appreciate what you just said, Chair Mapp. I think you're right. Some of this stuff, and it's why I want criteria, because when we get to the tougher ones, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of input, and it would be great to have thought about it and discussed it in the calm before any storm. But I heard some reference to this, but responding to what Director Quintero said, and I think Alex may have mentioned it too, it's so clear that all the research that you all are doing around these names and the input we're getting is gonna unearth all these cool stories, untold stories. So Alex and Jason, I'm just wondering, is there an explicit link to the interpretive team? Like, is there a direct integration between those two? Because it seems like, wow, what a great opportunity to piggyback off. You know, renaming is one thing, but you can only give one name. So for all the other great stories that maybe can't get a name, anyway, just could you all comment on that? And if you're not doing it explicitly, then consider this an encouragement that you do so.
So yes, our reexamining our past team is multi-divisional, and it includes the planning, the Interpret Ed chief, Stacey Yankee. So, you know, we've got our cultural chief, our Interpret Ed chief, the planning chief, and others, you know, that are part of this core team that are helping with these discussions and developing these processes, and hopefully in the future, any criteria or communication plans or public, you know, engagement plan, things like that. We're just, like I said before, we're kind of at the ground floor here, defining what we legally, you know, need to do when it comes to our processes and our flows. And then we're hoping to develop some of these tools that'll help, you know, forge the path in the future.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner Mahdi.
Sorry, if y'all can indulge me. Commissioner Barth made me think of one more thing. I'm curious how you all are also working with other sister partners in this effort as well. The one thing that comes to mind is Coastal Conservancy. They recently put out a grant program for oral histories, and are also doing a lot of work kind of like understanding the history of the coast. And so I'm just curious how some of that information can also be leveraged, or how that those partnerships are kind of working together.
I definitely agree, and we fully intend that in the future, when we're talking about our advisory group and our stakeholders, a lot of those are going to be our partners in some of these properties and even statewide efforts. So yes, it's intended to include that the collaboration specifically to park units. If we have any park unit or area features in a park unit that has, stakeholders or partners that are heavily invested in that particular area, we include them in these discussions.
Great. Thank you for the questions and the follow-up questions. Alex, terrific and energizing presentation. So with so much appreciation for you. I'd like to move on to agenda item number 6. And that is titled public comment for items not on the agenda. So at this time, we will hear public comments for items not on the agenda. As before, and as always at this time, we'd like to ask members of the public who wish to make comments for items not on the agenda to please use the raise hand option in Zoom or dial *9 if participating by telephone. Staff will call your name when it is your turn to speak.
Thank you, Commission Chair. We have a handful of people registered to give public comment on this topic. Participants, public commenters, when it is your turn to speak, I will inform you that you may unmute your microphone and begin. If you have decided not to comment, please say pass. And I apologize in advance if I mispronounce your name. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Mike Garabedian, please unmute your microphone and begin your 3 minutes of public comment.
Thank you and good morning, Parks and Recreation Commissioners and staff. I'm Mike Garabedian, here to introduce you to Friends of the North Fork, an American River group formed in 2004, and to our issues in the Auburn State Recreation Area. 5 years before that, I began a hike at the Discovery Park confluence of the Sacramento and American Rivers. That was mid-March 1999 in icy waters when I set out to hike to the headwaters of the North Fork. I soon covered the 30 or so miles to the east end of the Folsom Lake State Recreation Area and boundary of the ASRA. With this comment, and another one to follow, I think, I begin an introduction to the wild ASRA, this commission that, from our point of view, voted recently to tame. Now, I start with the four most favorite wild animal encounters I've had in the ASRA, with a bobcat, with a skunk, with a blue heron, and with a bear. About the bobcat, a native California non-game species, I was hiking past the end of the Folsom Lake Reservoir and towards the Auburn Dam site. And I came around a wide bend and surprised a bobcat, which also surprised me. Now, the amazing thing about this, the bobcat decided to escape up the sidewall. And a wall it was, because the unforgettable thing was as it was trying to speed up the wall, it looked like it was going in slow motion. And it finally made it up to a little platform, lay down and looked at me, and I looked at it, and we looked at each other for a while, and I went on, not realizing that that exciting introduction of the beginning of the ASRA was meant that I was getting into wildlife country. The next one I'm going to talk about is the skunk. I often, when I lived in Auburn for about 10 months before moving to Sacramento, this was 97, 98, I hiked out the Middle Fork. The Middle Fork, by the way, is on the other side of the river from the OHV area, and that's how I learned it was there, because of the racket I would hear on some days hiking out the Middle Fork. As usual, I hiked out further and further each day, and on this day, coming back, I came face to face with a skunk speeding in the opposite direction right at me, with its nose to the ground, seemingly unaware of me. Before I could react, in an instant, a split second, the skunk was going in the other direction, the opposite direction. Needless to say, I was surprised and had a lot of gratitude and didn't realize a skunk could do that. So I'm going to be talking at another opportunity about the day with the blue heron and the bear. I'm looking forward to bringing that to your attention, too, and sharing these amazing experiences anyone can have in the ASRA. Thanks a lot for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mike Garabedian. Next up, Michael Bloom. Please unmute your microphone and begin your 3 minutes of public comment.
Good morning. My name is Michael Bloom, and I'm here representing Sea of Clouds, a nonprofit practice engaged in protecting significant coastal landscapes. I'm speaking today about the promise and potential of California Maritime Heritage Conservation, our requests. We ask that you direct staff to report on maritime heritage conservation and finally implementing the Marine Managed Areas Improvement Act, enacted over 20 years ago, as an agendized item at a future 2022 commission meeting. This staff report should include, among other topics, the work of this commission and the resources agency, work required to properly solicit, receive, evaluate, and take action on maritime heritage nominations submitted by individuals, organizations, or communities. Despite California's coastal history of Native American settlement and seafaring, colonial expansion, commercial and military activity, and more recently, recreation and leisure, there are no state-designated managed areas recognizing, conserving, and protecting exceptional recreational or cultural heritage marine resources. California has statutory authority to develop maritime heritage conservation under the Marine Managed Areas Improvement Act. Indeed, authority transfers to this commission to designate maritime heritage areas and to state parks to manage them once created. I'm excerpting from the Marine Managed Areas Improvement Act directly. The mission of the state system is to ensure long-term viability and productivity of ecosystems and to preserve cultural resources in the coastal sea. This intended dual mandate of both natural and cultural resource conservation is, of course, familiar to state parks' work, with a tradition extending back to the 1929 Olmsted Survey. However, marine conservation as currently practiced in California exclusively focuses on habitat, species, or sustainable fisheries protections. A consequence has been to conceptually flatten the multiple ways people and communities connect to these landscapes into one set of values. This not only prevents maritime heritage resources from consideration for intended state-level protection, again, designations that will be made by this commission, but it also blocks communities from expressing their full range of interests and priorities within the public trust context. We find this limitation to be a conspicuous policy oversight, conservation oversight, and equity oversight. We welcome the opportunity to engage with you and staff on maritime heritage conservation. We've been thinking about and writing to you for a while now, writing over a dozen times to commission and agency staff since summer 2019 without response. It would be our pleasure to share learnings and assist in any way to help realize the original vision of a full California marine conservation program. On behalf of Sea of Clouds, I extend our best wishes for a safe and joyful holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Blum. Next up, Michael Anzalone. Please unmute your microphone and begin your 3 minutes of public comment.
Hello, my name is Madam Chair and Commissioners and staff. My name is Michael Anzalone. I'm here, like the mics before me, to introduce our organization and briefly share a bit about our work. I'm the Executive Director of California Mountain Biking Coalition, CAMTB, and we're a statewide trail advocacy coalition that serves the larger mountain biking community in California. CMTB acts as a collective voice on their behalf, engaging land managers, engaging state and federal electeds, tracking and influencing legislation, and providing a platform for our members to share knowledge and information from one organization or region to another. Now, access for bikes is, I'm sure you can imagine, is a very important issue for us and for our community, but also is stewarding lands and empowering the communities that utilize and serve them. CMTB was founded in 2020, and the idea actually sparked at a Trails and Greenways conference. So we owe a debt of gratitude to state parks for helping for spur that. Our members are 501c3 bike-friendly trail advocacy organizations from across California. They build and maintain trails. They provide volunteer support and community outreach in 18 of the 21 state parks districts. Combined, they have an audience of 150,000 riders, and we engage them to help spread the word about bike-related trail issues and to activate the larger riding community in California. We maintain a member-led advisory council that serves as our eyes and ears around the state, and it also serves as our brain trust to help help the coalition form our collective positions, to focus our energy, and create our action plans. California State Parks is actually one of our top priorities, and 90% of our organization, 90% of our organizations actually have dealings with state parks. So to begin, we engaged our community, we identified pain points as well as opportunities, and commissioned a summary report and action plan. Year one, we focused on developing relationships in state parks. We've been meeting regularly with Alex Stell, most recently with Director Quintero, and the superintendent community as well. And now we're here with the State Park and Recreation Commission.
45 seconds.
So in addition, I expect this to be the first of many public comments in front of the commission. And that said, I want to express that we're coming to the table here in a spirit of cooperation. This is meant to be an additive rather than an extractive effort. And please consider us a resource. Our community wants to support you. It wants to support state parks and wants to support the larger recreation community. And so with that, I thank you for the time and wish you the best and happy holidays.
Thank you for that introduction. Chair Mapp, all public comments have been heard.
Thank you so much, Ms. Beard. Okay, we are now moving on to agenda item number 7, commission business. Agenda item number 7A is the commission annual report to the governor. I'd like to invite Alex Stell, Planning Division Chief, to address the commission on this topic. Alex, please begin when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hello, Commissioner. I'm Alex Dell, Planning Chief. You guys get to hear a lot from me today. typically we would submit an annual report to the governor after each year of activities from the commission. So for this year of 2021, for this commission, we would want to submit an annual report probably by late spring, early summer. But because of some of the issues, because of some of the conditions in the past, we had some inactivity from the commission for various reasons. We have a gap. And so we developed an annual plan that an annual report that just identifies the actions of the committee and the commission, during that gap, just the straight actions, anything at the meeting times, who were members of, at the time, any actions that the commission took, just, basically straight actions and activities of the commission. What we would like to do is, because we have this gap, we'd like to submit that. We submitted that to the commission for review and hopefully approval so that we can submit that to the governor to fill in the handful of years, the 5 years of where the annual report is missing, and then move forward with focusing on development of the 2021 annual report. Now, what you should take into consideration is we can forward you the 2012 to 2015 annual report so you can see how an annual report can be. It's really up to the commission on how much involvement they have with the development of the annual report. Staff can just record and document what happened at each meeting as a result of the commission's activities, or we can include things like priorities that the commission would like to see and recommendations to the department. And in order to develop that type of more interactive report, we would need the assistance of the commission, of course, because this is a report from the commission. And once again, that discussion around whether or not we have a subcommittee that can work with staff to develop that annual report for 2021 and then bring it back to the commission for further input, guidance, and approval before submission. So we've got two things on the table right now. We'd like you to look at the gap report that covers 2015 to 2020. That's not necessarily reflective of this commission, of course, because there was different members, and just documents the actions of commission at that time, during that time. And then also the discussion of how we might move forward with your 2021 report, where you've been quite active and have accomplished quite a few things, and you might have some priorities and recommendations that you'd want to suggest to the governor and the department.
Thank you. Are there any comments or discussion topics that the commission would like to raise in response to the recommendation to move forward the high level retrospective of the report to the governor and a focus on convening a subcommittee or task force potentially to advise on the content of a 2021 report?
I see your hand, Commissioner Wittenberg. Go ahead and speak when you're ready. If you can unmute.
I said, I apologize for talking so much. I tried to just give a perspective. And this previous annual report that they're referring to, and Alex, did you say you were going to send that out to everybody?
You did receive it in some correspondence, but we can resend it. It is posted.
Mm-hmm. The previous one. Okay. So all I wanted to say is we as a commission had an annual report similar to the one Alex is presenting today, which I support. A few years ago, we decided that we wanted to make, the commission decided we wanted to make a more substantive report about where we think the commission should be going. And we worked really hard on it. And it took a lot of effort that we were not really prepared to do every year without any staff to help us. So it was kind of a one-off. But it would just give you a view of what Alex just described to you, the two types of reports that we could decide as a commission to do. Certainly this catch up for 5 years, because by law we're supposed to be giving an annual report every year, is an excellent idea, because people ask about where the hell's your annual report. But I think this commission should think more seriously about whether it's worth the effort of moving forward to do a more sort of policy direction report, or this report that staff can prepare. Certainly for this one, I support what you've prepared. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Wittenberg. Are there any other discussion items from the commission to raise at this time? I see Commissioner Barth.
So I totally understand the need to just have a wrap up from the last few years. So that makes sense, Alex, as an approach. But going forward, I think if the commission is to be impactful, it feels like we should give serious consideration to reports that are meaningful in any way, because I don't say this to be offensive, but I think as the one that was drafted is, you know, just a documentation of what happened. No criticism. I understand why that was done, but I think it's a missed opportunity for the commission to help provide some guidance and recommendations to the department. I guess the question I would ask of the department, so maybe this is something for you, Armando, or Director Quintero, to think about and respond to is, you know, will it be used? I don't think anybody wants to expend a lot of energy to put together a report that will just be mothballed or ignored. So maybe that's a question for some further consideration and discussion about how this commission can be most helpful to you all. And it goes back to a discussion we had at the last session around, you know, whether there's staff time that can be allocated to support the commission in some of its work, and whether the commission has the ability to do kind of a retreat or discussion with itself around its larger goals and ambitions. To me, the answer to the question about this report is linked to, you know, the goals and ambitions of this commission itself. But I hope we will, we've an amazing group of people here. We have Parks in an incredible time of transition with fabulous leadership and fabulous staff. And I'd love for us to be more ambitious as a commission, or be ambitious. I don't want to comment on what has been. Be ambitious going forward in how we can best support you. So that's a meandering answer, but it's in part to say what we do about the report is kind of contingent upon what we want to do as a commission. And so maybe it's a request to Director Quintero and Chair Mapp to think about, you know, how to best pull this team together to discuss what the goals and ambitions of the commission should be, and then whether the report or some other set of vehicles or tools or input are most helpful to DPR.
Thank you, Commissioner Barth. Commissioner Bakewell, I see that your hand is up.
It is. Thank you for recognizing me, Chair Mapp. I just want to piggyback on that statement. I think it opened the door. I am totally frustrated at the lack of responsiveness on the part of the staff to the commission. We get these reports, as was just, you know, illustrated and identified, and they're just so pro forma. They just come out and we just rubber stamp everything that comes out. I mean, we can discuss them, but I don't know that it changes them. It doesn't really take into consideration any of our interests, concerns. We all represent constituencies, as you mentioned, Chair Mapp, that look to us to understand what's going on these, on this commission with Rec and Parks. And people that I know who are looking to me, they're completely frustrated. We just gave away $500 million. Do you know where that went? Do you know specifically where it went? I've been asking about communities that I'm concerned about. I've heard from other commissioners who were asking about things that they were concerned about. We just had a nice, you know, illustrious presentation about secretaries of the Interior who came down and this money was released. And so what? I mean, how do we have any input in that? I'm not saying it was done improperly. I certainly know it was not done improperly. But it's just, it's everything is after the fact when the commission gets it, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe that's a lack of something on my part. I just wanted to state that for the record. I think we're just completely out of the loop. Staff does a fabulous job, and nobody critiques that. I mean, Mr. Quintero critiques it, I presume. I know he does, because I know he's committed to this whole process. But we're completely out of the loop as far as I am concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Bakewell. Director Quintero, I see your hand is up.
Sure. Thank you, both Commissioner Bakewell and Commissioner Barth. You know, the next item on the agenda is about a proposed workshop, and I would take both of your comments as a key item to bring up at that workshop. And I think that, you know, one of the, and absolutely, I recognize the value of this commission as being the public-facing body for state parks. It's the conduit of how we get public engagement and public understanding of what we're doing. And Commissioner Bakewell, I apologize for the frustration around the grants program. But I do think, that's a competitive process, and there's a point at which I think that at the workshop, we can talk about the various programs and things that we do in state parks and how we best interface with the commission, because absolutely, I think that, in fact, I'll see if I can get you the recording of the public sort of testimony from all the communities that got these grants. And I think that you would see that it is absolutely in a very competitive process, communities of absolutely highest need. I mean, literally, there was one mayor of a community called Guadalupe, where it's all farm workers, and he was in tears. And he basically said, this represents the first time we're going to get something that is something other than our housing, you know, literally. Anyway, so going through these programs with you and how we best understand from you how you would like to engage with the different groups when parks makes perfect sense. I'm all for strengthening our relationship and our connections with the public. Absolutely. So I take to heart the questions and the concerns raised. Which thank you for doing that. Sorry.
Chairman Mapp, can I speak, please?
Yes, and then after you, I see the hand of Commissioner Ginsburg.
I'm not questioning your motive or intent at all. You and I have talked off the commission map, if you will, several times. But if we're going to govern, we got to govern. You're telling me about staff who has a criteria and they have imposed that criteria and they've made judgments. We're just not involved. I've asked you very specific things. I've asked you about Compton. I've asked you about Gardena. I've asked you about places that I know have tremendous needs, okay, who have, in their minds, not in my mind, in their minds, they've been overlooked. Maybe those things have been done. I'm just telling you right now, I don't know where that money, maybe my colleagues on the commission know where that money went, but I'm just saying I don't. I think your suggestion about let's talk about it at a retreat, that's okay. But I just want everybody to know we're stuck. Go ahead.
I will just to follow up, I will get the information sent out to all of you on the communities that receive these grants and what they're doing with them and where they are. And it's a comprehensive list. And I will get that out to all of you. And I apologize for not having distributed that to you on the day that we made that public. And so I apologize. I don't even
understand why you have to give it to us on the day it was made public. We are your commission. We should get it before then so we know. So if we're quizzed on it, you know, then, you know, we can answer questions intelligently. That's not transparent when you say you're going to give it to us when everybody else gets it. I mean, look, we're a commission that has somebody has accountability to us, or we're not. It's okay if it's not. I called the governor's office, and the governor said we should have accountability. So that's a whole nother discussion, and maybe it should be a retreat. But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Bakewell. I echo your concerns. I get questions too, specifically from the Black community, that often feels experiences disenfranchisement and, you know, has very urgent needs. And so I'm fully in support of greater communication in advance so that we're, you know, not caught unaware of things that are in the public, and as a commissioner, not showing our own due diligence and knowledge. So I just want to second your concerns, Commissioner Bakewell. Commissioner Ginsburg.
Sure. And maybe this conversation is bleeding over into the next agenda item, but just a couple of thoughts or reflections. I think one thing that would have been helpful and probably appropriate in the construct of understanding the commissioner's role, or at least informing commissioners about this really, you know, monumental, amazing grant program, which it combined both Prop 68 money and state general fund money to allocate this $500 million, would have been at some point at a prior meeting before the grants were to have been released for the, you know, to staff to walk us through how the process works, right? Like, here's how people apply, here are the criteria, here's how we evaluate and score applications, right? Obviously, we're not going to process as a commission $2 billion worth of Prop 68 requests, but you could have, even before they were awarded, say at the deadline, say, here's all the grants that came in and here's the geographic breakdown of them, you know, in different parts of the state. I think that there's more that could have been done because on this one to try to keep us in the loop. And then, of course, I mean, you know, we either learned about this because, you know, our jurisdictions applied for the grants in our, you know, wearing our other hats, or we, you know, learned about it on Twitter or the website where we saw pictures of the celebration, which, you know, we weren't really engaged or involved in. Now we're all around the state and we're in a world of Zoom. But I guess that gets to my other point, Director Quintero, and again, this is probably a retreat conversation, but to the extent that the commission is supposed to be, have some role in being sort of a public interface with state parks, then beyond there needs to be a system or some structure to allow us to actually do that. And right now this is, you know, it's just the meetings, which is fine, I guess. But, you know, I think this is the kind of thing that we need to talk about a little bit, you know, talk a little bit more of, you know, sort of during the, you know, during a retreat. And then that gets to, I think Commissioner Baird's comments, which is in terms of these reports, so that we can kind of move on to the, you know, business side of things. Oh, I say Commissioner Baird, I meant Commissioner Barth. Sorry, Commissioner Barth. is the 15 to 20 report seems fine, but I think if we were, this commission were to sign off on a 21 annual report, I do think it should reflect some sort of strategic direction from the commission, which we actually have to spend the time to form.
Thank you, Commissioner Ginsburg. Ms. Thiel?
Yes, I just wanted to respond to Commissioner Barth's question about the importance of the report or how it's used. And I just want to use the example of the 2012 to 2015 report, which we'll send a link to you all so you can look at. But it actually identified the strategy and really focused on the transformation team. And some of those changes, the strategic initiatives, there were 31 strategic initiatives that the commission helped the department identify and work towards. So, and as a result of that, you know, however many years later, we are realizing a lot of those transformation team efforts and changes in the department. So I do think that the report is utilized and can be more assertive and help outline a strategic and vision for both the department and the commission. But also keep in mind that this is a report that we help prepare, but it's submitted to the commission through the director to the governor. So this is identifying your goals, strategies, and recommendations for the department to the governor. So just keep that in mind. So there's another layer there as well when it comes to the functions of these reports.
Thank you, Ms. Stell. And I think that to your point, Commissioner Ginsburg, some of this does that we've raised bleeds over into the next topic where we can, you know, really dig into committees. And this is where we can have opportunities to be more tactical and organized in a focused way to support these, you know, various reports and grant opportunities and more. And as a new, I just want to offer that, you know, as a newly formed body that didn't meet because we lacked a quorum for several months. This is an opportunity that we have to form the commission that we want to serve on. So the desire is meeting the opportunity right now. So I just want you all to know that you know, we have some ability to be architects of the experience that we want to create for our participation in the commission. And we absolutely can look back and say, yeah, that wasn't, you know, the way we want to do things, but I'm looking forward to the future in 2021, the chance to meet in person. I mean, there's just layers of challenges that we've all faced in trying to get things done in this virtual world on top of not having our quorum for such a long time. So, I just want to offer some grace for all of us to lean in on as we move forward. And I appreciate the determination and the focus and the call for accountability. So I believe we have the chance to approve and need a motion to adopt the combined report to the governor. And so I'm looking for a motion to adopt.
I'll motion. This is Sarah Barth.
Commissioner Barth.
I'll make a motion to approve the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Barth. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. The motion was seconded by Commissioner Mahdi. Thank you. Okay, great. Clerk, can you please take a roll call vote?
Yes, the motion is to approve the draft annual report reviewed by commissioners dated July 2015 to December 2020. Chair Mapp?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ginsburg?
Aye.
Commissioner Bakewell?
No.
Commissioner Barth?
Aye.
Commissioner Mahdi?
Aye.
Commissioner Toy?
Aye.
Commissioner Wittenberg? Oh, you're on mute, Commissioner Wittenberg.
Aye.
Thank you. The annual report is approved by a vote of 6-1.
Thank you, Ms. Baird. Moving on to agenda item number 7B, it's Commission Plans 2022. I'm pleased to announce that we have finalized the 2022 calendar of quarterly meetings of the State Park and Recreation Commission. The dates are, you get your phones, get your planners, get your journals, and please note Monday and Tuesday, February 7 and 8, Thursday and Friday, June 16 and 17, Thursday and Friday, October 20th and 21st, Thursday and Friday, December 8 through 9. Again, February 7 through 8, June 16 through 17th, October 20th through 21st, and December 8 through 9. Please note that the final agenda for each meeting will advise whether 2 days will be needed. Typically, we have a tour on day one. We meet with staff, and then we have our commission meeting on the second day. Very much looking forward to meeting in person. Now, I'd like to open a discussion regarding recommendations for an in-person workshop for the state of State Park and Recreation Commission, and for an all commission meeting sometime in 2022 for all four commissions supporting the California Department of Parks and Recreation. So there's no action taken for this agenda item. There's not a vote or need to make a motion. Without any comments, I'll move on to the next agenda item. Director.
I would like to bring from our last discussion into this item, and that is that clearly my interest in this workshop is to maybe the subheading might be engaging the commission more fully with parks. And that would be certainly my goal in this. And I would also like to say that there is a lot of transition happening in parks, and in over 30 years of these grants going out, these community grants, this was the first time that they were made public when they were decided. This has actually been a very silent process in the past, and it's absolutely my interest to do exactly what we did here. But as we've been talking here, I realize my failure. I could have done a much better job in fully engaging the commission as we walked toward the announcement last week. And I think in the future, I can see including, and it makes sense to me to include the commission in future public announcements on screen with all of the recipients of these funds, and things like that. And so, and I'm saying that not to dictate how we will do that, but to say that that is the subheading for, I think, the workshop that we can have in early next year, I hope.
Thank you, Director. I know that would be greatly appreciated. I did get the invitation, just so everyone knows, to come out, but I only had a few days notice. Giving us notice and, you know, the opportunity, because I wanted to be there, but I just didn't have enough time to make that work for my schedule. So I'm very much looking forward to continuing on with the depth, a deeper engagement. And I see that Ms. Dell has her hands up.
I do. Maybe I'm not clear. I didn't want you to move from the workshop discussion without the staff needs a little bit of direction from the commission when it comes to the workshop. We'd like to organize this workshop, but we're hoping to have a bit of a discussion with you on what you're looking for as far as, you know, if you want to meet in person versus can we do a virtual? The issue that we're up against right now is the governor's order is until January 31st for virtual meetings. We don't know if that's going to be lifted by early February. It could be extended. So just some direction before you leave this agenda item on how you would like us to move forward in arranging this workshop. If we select some dates and it ends up we can't do in person, are we okay doing something that's virtual, or do you want to push it until you can do in person? Just some direction from the commission. And then also maybe, you know, obviously we've got a list of topics already. This might be a day or two, or, you know, what is the commission willing to commit for this effort as well?
Thank you.
Chair Matt.
Yes, Commissioner Bakewell, please proceed.
I'm a little confused about this workshop. You mentioned that this was to get together a number of commissions.
No,
who might that be?
Yeah, I think we may be talking about two different topics. We've kind of floated the workshop / retreat, but this that I just mentioned is an all commissions meeting for all four commissions supporting the California Department of Parks and Recreation. It's possible that we can delve in and decide how
that, that clarifies for me. It's a different kind. I was talking more about the retreat.
Yes. Both have been mentioned, but those are different meetings.
Yeah. Let me just put this in because I'm concerned about everybody's time. The issue of retreat, I would not like the staff to put that agenda together. I would like us to put that agenda together, us being the commission. So if they could facilitate, whether it's by Zoom or whatever, a conversation just from the commission, so we can talk about how we would like to do that. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be all day. It can be for 1 hour so that everybody's time is respected, but we just need to put some things on the table. The other thing that would help me, if this is possible, I know we have some laws, rules, and regulations. If the staff could put together a call where the commission could talk, we don't have to meet as an official commission, but just members of the commission, do we have the ability to be on a call together?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And just talk among ourselves about how we want to organize the retreat.
So the workshop / retreat is the same thing, just to clarify. We have the workshop / retreat that we want to get direction on, and then we have the super commission, which is the meeting of four commissions. The retreat, which I think we'll call it just to keep it simple, that'd be great if the commission wants to develop the agenda. We just need to have a plan of action of how that can happen. As far as having a call where the commissioners can discuss, unfortunately, the commission is bound by Bagley-Keene Act. So all of your discussions of three or more commissioners is required to be public. So even this workshop / retreat is going to be a public effort. It has to be in order for you guys to talk commission business. But in the workshop realm, we can keep it a little bit more flexible and not as formal as a hearing. So that's something to keep. Unfortunately, you cannot have a call, and I can have Tara chime in here, but the commission can't have a call. Private call to discuss commission business. All commission business is done in front of the public. Now you can have a subcommittee or a task force that's identified that can be responsible for coordinating, working with the department to coordinate the retreat. We could also do, you know, something where the commissioners maybe and sends us emails or suggestions of what they would like to talk about as far as the agenda is concerned, and then we can put that all together and send it out to the commissioners as a whole for edits, comments, etc.
If I asked you to put together a meeting between me and two other commissioners just to have a conversation, can you facilitate that?
We could, but it'd have to be public. You can have a meeting with one other commissioner to discuss commission business, but not two others.
And what? Why is it three? What was the?
Tara, did you want to jump in here? I think it has to do with the number of seats.
Yeah. So essentially, Bagley Keene says that if a meeting occurs between three or more commissioners, it is a public meeting that has to be held in front of the public.
Okay.
The exception is two or less.
Just disregard that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You go on. It's okay. No,
thank you. Thank you. And I want to acknowledge you in the spirit of what you're raising here, Commissioner Bakewell. And that is, as a new body and as an accountable body to our communities, the need for us to meet and to learn. And I want to encourage you all, and you've done a great job with this, Commissioner Bakewell. We can pick up the phone and talk to each other. Okay, so we don't have to have a scheduled meeting to do that. I've been on the phone with Commissioner Ginsburg and others, so I want to encourage us to pick up the phone and call each other, and that does not have to be publicly noticed. So I just want to encourage and support any and all ways that we can be in communication with each other about.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I just want to acknowledge that real concern and that valid concern for who we are and where we are right now. We are going to talk about commission business on agenda item 8. So if your comment has to do with committees, subcommittees, which I think gets at some of what the concerns have been about, I would just encourage you to hold so that we can have a robust conversation in that part of the agenda. We have now a quick agenda item about the Golden Bear Awards that I'd like to move on to, but I see your hand is up, Commissioner Ginsburg. So
yeah, I think staff was asking for a little direction from us, and before we move off of this one, and I know some of the governance stuff we can also address during the committee conversation, but I think to move this forward, the retreat piece of this, I think we needed two things. One, I don't mean to open up a can of worms here, but this is why it is important to have some sort of designated staff with some capacity to help drive commission business, which we don't have. And I think that that's part of the challenge and frustration that Commissioner Bakewell, I know, is feeling. And so, Director Quintero, maybe this can be talked about offline, but like for us to have meaningful engagement, there needs to be, some dedicated, sort of staff resource to driving commission business, communicating with commission, coordinating. But until that point, I think what would be helpful, Alex, to move the retreat forward would be A, to throw out some possible dates so we can all make sure we've got one. And obviously, I will speak for myself, which is in person would be nice, because I'd like to see people in person. If it's not possible, then yes, we could do it on Zoom, but we should agree on a date first, and then maybe offer, whether it's a little background of the last time there ever was a commission retreat, some of the what that agenda looked like, but offer commissioners an opportunity to request, certain agenda items on the retreat, and then use that to shape a potential draft agenda, and then circulate it until we get to where we need it to be.
I need to address something right here, and that is that Stacy Beard is your staff support person.
Okay.
And Stacy reports to Alex. So any of you can direct your questions, concerns to Stacy. It's her role to organize that and to get the answers back out to all of you. And I apologize if that hasn't been made clear before. So
Stacy does a wonderful job. And so Stacy, no offense intended, whatever. I didn't know that you were dead. The one piece I didn't know was that
he's dedicated.
You're dedicated to commission. So if that's the case, then I'll totally direct this to Stacy, and also say thank you for all of the great communication that we do get from you. But then Stacy, it would be nice for you to, A, agree on a date, get us to agree on a date, and then B, to, you know, feed us enough that we could suggest meaningful or substantive potential agenda items. And each commissioner should probably have an opportunity to do that. And then, you know, based on the feedback that you get, you know, maybe circulate a, you know, like a draft retreat agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Ginsburg. Commissioner Barth?
Yeah, I was just going to offer, I think where Commissioner Ginsburg is suggesting and going is 100% right. And unless Tara tells me this is violating some sort of rule, I am happy to offer to be a liaison between the director and Alex and Stacy and the commission and talk to you all, commissioners, one by one, if you want, and try to consolidate, do some consolidation of what I'm hearing, unless that's more appropriate for you, Chair Mapp, but I'm happy to offer to put some time into this because I think it's so fundamental to us coming together and be effective going forward. So if that is helpful, I'm willing to do that to help us design a retreat agenda that sort of hears from the commissioners what they feel is most needed. So if that would be useful, that offer is on the table.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Barth. I would absolutely be happy to pair with you to do that. So you just basically created a subcommittee for you and me. So great. Very appreciate it. Ms. Lynch, you wanted to chime in? I see you're off mute.
I just wanted to say that that's completely appropriate, Commissioner Barth. So thank you.
Keep me out of trouble. I don't want to offer to do something out of goodwill and end up causing everybody harm.
Hardly. Great comments, both Commissioner Ginsburg and Commissioner Barth. Commissioner Ginsburg, did you have another comment? I see your hand is up. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. Okay, great. Thank you so much, everyone. I'm going to move on to agenda item C7C. It's an update regarding the Golden Bear Awards. They've been relaunched, but we've not awarded them due to commission vacancies. So the issue is, how do we move forward? We have a subcommittee for this, this award, but it has no members. So I would like to invite staff, Ms. Baird, if you may, to just provide us an update and an overview regarding the Golden Bear Awards.
Absolutely. So the Golden Bear Awards were first awarded in 1969, and they recognize outstanding contributions of state park employees, retirees, external organizations, and the public, individuals in the public, who have made positive impacts to the state park system. The awards were not awarded regularly, and in 2019, the commission decided to relaunch the program. The details of that program are that there were to be two recipients per year, one from each region. I will note that we now have four regions and state parks, and they would be selected from nominations submitted to the commission. Recipients were to be presented with a certificate at the last commission meeting of the year. And the status of the 2019 relaunch is that nominations were received, but no recipients were selected because of commissioner departures before the selection process was completed. I'm happy to answer any questions if I...
Great. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Baird.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners regarding the Golden Bear Awards? Okay, seeing that there are no comments and also no actions, we will move on to the next agenda item. We will have a chance to revisit the Golden Bear Awards in the form of a committee that can be formed later in the agenda around this award so that we can do further due diligence and decide how to move forward with it, as well as recognize, because The thing that concerns me is that we've not done it and people make the nominations and nothing happens. And so we really have a big opportunity to make sure that we get back on program to recognize the staff who are worthy of that recognition and not delayed any further. So we will definitely revisit that a little later in the agenda for people to participate in that body. So agenda item number 8, action items, commission business. And this is essentially our subcommittee review. So we can create, we can change, we can dissolve subcommittees without a motion and a vote from the commission. And we can, or we can request a vote. The council's recommended the former so that we can have some flexibility about these commissions and we can also appoint members or appoint ourselves to a subcommittee without a vote. Let's just discuss the existing status of the subcommittees that we have right now. We will review each one individually and we can decide to dissolve, continue, or to request more information for a later decision. So we don't have to arrive at decision for each of these subcommittees. And then also, as I've heard already, there's some interest in joining a subcommittee or perhaps creating a subcommittee based on some of the topics that have come up in this meeting. So there are a total of 6 subcommittees. And I will just read them off and I will let you know when they were created and when they and who the members are, if there are any members. So right now we have the first one is the General Plans Subcommittee. It was created in 2017 and currently there are no current members. We can dissolve, continue, require more information for a February review, or we can assign commissioners at this time. Any comments? Okay. The future, number 2 is the future role of commission subcommittee. There's only one member that was also created in 2017. And that one member is myself. There are no other members. If there are no comments or questions, we can choose to dissolve, continue, or require more information for a February review. I would choose to, I see some hands. I'm not sure who was first. Commissioner Mahdi, if you'd like to kick us off and then followed by Commissioner Ginsburg. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Mapp. I think for me, for these subcommittees that we have, I remember we had talked about this at our last commission meeting, and that kind of sparked the conversation about doing a retreat or doing a workshop for us to get clarity on are these the kind of committees that we want to continue, or what are, and based on like what our goals are, what do we want to envision in terms of subcommittees? So I think at this meeting too, I'm going to be struggling a little to know what to say yes to or what to say no to, aside from maybe what I committed to earlier. I just wanted to share that, just coming into this conversation, kind of where I'm coming in from.
Yeah, I think that's great. So there are no decisions that have to be made today. So no pressure to make a decision because we can take the time to do our due diligence and come with a more clear view of the committees that we want to see. And there's a lot of flexibility in this. So I just want to, not put anyone to feel on the spot here in this meeting to make a decision. Commissioner Ginsburg?
I had 2 comments, and one was exactly Commissioner Mahdi's, which is that it seems like we are committing to a retreat, and at the retreat would be, I think, a time to really focus on what kind of committees would be productive and, which commissioners are most interested in what subtopics. I think at that retreat, it would also be helpful to understand from from Stacy or Stacy and Alex or Stacy and Alex and Director Quintero, how these, you know, what kind of work are we hoping to accomplish out of these different subcommittees and how they too will need to be staffed. You know, and I don't know if that's something that is, you know, Stacy also has the capacity to do, because if they're not, and I think Commissioner Wittenberg has said this at a previous meeting, they don't really go anywhere. So anyway, so I think that these, it seems to me we can go over, we can remind the public of what committees are out there, but it seems like this is exactly the type of thing that we could be talking about during a retreat. And my only other comment is that this particular committee that you just mentioned, Chair Matt, seems to me to be exactly the what you and Commissioner Barth have just committed to do, which is the future of the commission committee, which is to prepare for the retreat. So maybe that's the only one that, you know, we can continue to drive for the time being.
Yeah, I agree. This is great. So what? How about this? How about I just read out for the benefit of the commissioners and staff and the public, each of the commission subcommittees, and then I'm hearing a motion percolating around deciding what action to take about our committee names and structures at a future date, preferably when we have a retreat. Is that what I'm hearing generally? Okay, great. So I'm going to go ahead and just read out the names of the committees, and then I'd like to call for a motion to describe what I'm hearing the commission is interested in doing. So again, General Plans Subcommittee, Future Role of Commissions Subcommittee, Golden Bear Award Subcommittee, Climate Change Subcommittee. Commissioner Wittenberg is currently on that committee. Partnerships and Diversity to Expand Park Access Subcommittee. And then finally, the Upper Truckee River Project Golf Course Consultant Subcommittee. And the thing I just want to note about these subcommittees is, you know, I like to think of them more or less as task forces that should have a charge or a charter, and once it's been achieved, then it's done. Okay, so I want to just flag that this is not a commitment to have standing calls every, you know, in a particular interval of time. These are real focused working groups around specific goals. And so we may even choose to rename some of these groups to get to the goals that we want to accomplish as part of a subcommittee. So I just would like to, I guess, open the floor for any additional comments or a motion about how we will move forward with this suite of subcommittees. Ms. Dell?
I would move, we've already reached consensus that Chair Mapp and Commissioner Barth are going to work with staff to create an agenda and prepare for a commissioner retreat, but that beyond that, we hold off on subcommittee appointments until after that retreat, where we've had a chance to discuss them and figure out which committees we think are going to be most meaningful and what the objectives of each of those committees would be. So I guess the simplest version of that motion is that I move we defer committee appointments until after the retreat.
Madam Chair, may I, I'm sorry to interrupt. May I interject here? I just want to alert the commission on just a timeline when it comes to your annual staff report. We did hear concerns from the commissioners that you like to have a more interactive and proactive staff report. We would like to get that out in, you know, the early summer, late spring, if it's possible. If you wait until the retreat to make that committee or task force, we might be looking at later February, early March before we even have, staff would like to start on this effort in the new year. So I just wanted to put that out there as a consideration when you're talking about how you want to move forward with your task force/subcommittees.
Thank you for that call out. Oh, so I'm hearing that, you know, there's some time sensitivity for a possible subcommittee formation for the annual report, and also may include the subcommittee for the Golden Bear Awards that have been already delayed as well. I want to make sure we're not getting too out of order here. We have a motion. I was waiting for a second, and then it would, I think after that, we do a discussion. Tara, can you help me get back on track here?
Yes. So the motion. You're correct that there's a motion. It hasn't been seconded yet. So the person who made the motion could always withdraw it before the second happens.
I second the motion.
Engage in more conversation now. But if the motion, the person who made the motion still wants to keep it, it needs a second, and then it would be open for commission discussion.
I'm happy to, thank you, Commissioner Bakewell, but I'm happy to withdraw if Chair Mapp, what you are suggesting based on Alex's feedback is that we do need to, that it's best to consider appointing people to the Golden Bear Committee and to the annual preparation of the annual report committee. That's I think that's what I heard. So if that's needed,
yeah,
important,
yeah,
it's fine with me.
Okay, great. So can we have a motion that is formulated maybe slightly differently to with the exception of the Golden Bear Awards and the General Plan Committee, move all other subcommittee decisions until after our retreat?
So moved.
Ms. Stell?
I'm sorry, just to clarify, it's not the General Plan Committee, it's the Annual Report Committee.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Just to be clear.
I misspoke. Thank you. So it's the Annual Report Committee and the Golden Bear Award Committee need to be populated. At this time, all other committees can wait until after our retreat. So that's now the spirit of the motion, and I'm offering someone to make that motion. I'm not sure if I can make that motion.
I think I already made it. So moved as modified by you, Chair Mapp.
Second.
Okay, and then we have a second from Commissioner Bakewell. Okay, over to you, Ms. Baird, for a vote.
Okay, the motion is to move all subcommittee decisions to the retreat yet to be scheduled, other than the annual report subcommittee and the Golden Bear Award subcommittee, which will be assigned later in this meeting. Chair Mapp.
Aye.
Vice Chair Ginsburg?
Aye.
Commissioner Bakewell?
Aye.
Commissioner Barth?
Aye.
Commissioner Mahdi?
Aye.
Commissioner Toy?
Because this is my last commission meeting and this is about future business, I'm going to abstain.
Thank you. Commissioner Wittenberg?
Aye.
And the motion passes 6-0.
Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone for raising the good, solid concerns and offering clarification where we needed it. It appears we have public comment for this agenda item. We'll now hear public comments regarding agenda items 7 and 8, commission business. If you wish to speak on this topic, please raise your hand in Zoom or dial *9 on your telephone, and staff will call your name when it's your turn to speak.
Commission Chair, we have a couple of people with raised hands for public comment. Participants, when it's your turn to speak, I will inform you that you may unmute your microphone and begin. If you have decided not to comment, please say pass. I apologize in advance if I mispronounce your name. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Mike Garabedian, please unmute your microphone and begin your 3 minutes of public comment.
Thank you, staff and commissioners. Mike Garabedian, speaking strictly personally about the annual report, I didn't know that was available to look at, and it was acted on without a public comment. I guess these may be internal actions. About the grants, I just want to mention the Hidden Falls Regional Park grant that the community roundly opposed, the Protect Rural Placer Group, because, it's a parking lot in an area inadequately served by roads and conversion of agriculture to recreation and so on. On the subcommittees, as before, strongly support a plan subcommittee, feel is essential. It's a priority. The statewide view is essential. This planning process may get, in some cases, pretty insular. And I want to use this opportunity to mention Cheryl Essex. Cheryl Essex was the planner for the second to the last and perhaps before that Auburn State Recreation Area meetings in a large gymnasium. Every part of that plan, I think there were 15 tables with resource people that were better than anything I've ever seen for that kind of planning effort. And I include the general, the plan in San Francisco, the program for the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument creation. It was just excess. And she retired, though. She retired after that meeting. And the last meeting, I'm afraid, was a done deal. It was done deal. I pointed out to the planner from the district that they'd run out of forms for the public, who said they aren't going to make any more forms, and so forth. Now, my personal comment is that the agenda and the things discussed at this meeting are the most important I've seen in the time I've been following the commission for these couple years, most important for the commission, but also for the future of state parks in California. And I wish you a good luck, and I'm glad to see you exploring these meaningfully. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike Garabedian. We really appreciate your insight. Next is Lynn Paulson. Please unmute your microphone and begin your 3 minutes of public comment.
My name is Lynn Paulson, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Sierra Club. Sierra Club California has more than 500,000 members and supporters in our state. We sent you a letter on December 10th with input on issues that could be addressed through commission subcommittees. These include issues that threaten park national resources due to lack of general plans, deficiencies in response to public comments, and state parks' abandonment of its primary mission. Whether these are addressed through subcommittees or another commission process like the workshop, we ask that you review and initiate measures to resolve these issues as described in our letter. Thank you for your consideration of our comments.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson. Chair Mapp, all public comments have been heard.
Thank you. I now call to close the public comment period for agenda items 7 through 8. Thank you for your comments. Moving on to agenda, I actually want to perhaps just revisit the committees for the annual report and ask, and for the Golden Bear, and before moving on, see if there's commissioners who are interested in joining either of those committees. This is for the annual report and the Golden Bear Award. And I think that we would need some staff support to follow up and provide some clear scope of that commitment. So if there's anyone who's even curious about participating without finally deciding in this moment, I think that would be also appropriate to signal now as well. I see Ms. Stell and Commissioner Ginsburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to mention that the staff for this committee would be Stacy and myself. So, you would have a great time working with us as we move forward with developing the annual report.
All right, sell it.
Yeah.
I love it. Great. Commissioner Ginsburg.
I was just going to get the ball rolling here, I'm happy to sign up to review Golden Bear nominations. That sounds like fun.
Great. And so it would be great to just have you all follow up with Ms. Dell and Ms. Beard to get more detail about what that would involve. And I appreciate your volunteering for the service. Thank you. All right. So for Golden Bear, we have Commissioner Ginsburg, who's stepped up to inquire more and potentially serve. Then for the annual report, there was some energy expressed in this meeting about the commission being part of the creation of that report and for it to have the integrity of our due diligence and approval behind it. So if there's anyone who'd like to sign up to be a part of it or inquire, please signal that. And if not now, you can signal or let us know following this meeting. But I just wanted to give voice to those two committees to get formed or populated before moving on to the next item.
And Madam Chair, we can send out an email to the commissioners, giving them a little understanding of what those two efforts might be required. With the annual report, we really kind of, it's up to the commissioners how robust they would like to make that report. But Stacy and myself will be staffing both of those efforts, and we'll send out an email to follow up with some more information so that commissioners maybe can decide if they want to join the effort.
That sounds excellent. Thank you so much for that. Okay, great. All right, now I'm ready to move on to the next agenda item. And the agenda item is number 10. Consent items, the Memorial Grove resolutions. We don't need to have a discussion about these consent items, but we will have a vote. In our last agenda item 10 is a consent item for Memorial Grove resolutions. Do we have a commissioner to read those resolutions?
I'm gonna recuse myself from the resolutions around the Memorial Groves, and we'll come back when you're done.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Mahdi, are you in a position to read these resolutions?
I can. I'm looking it up in my email right now.
Okay.
Give me one second.
Chair Mapp, this is a question going forward. I don't want to interrupt that discussion.
Please.
But on the nominations, are we going to handle that before we go to lunch? Or I assume that's for commission officers as they are now?
Yeah. What the plan is to do is to just signal that we're going to, that the time is now to decide that, but we will not be electing officers in this meeting. It will be at our subsequent meeting.
Good.
Just because I want to give people the opportunity to let us know, or some way let the body know, or take the time to do their own due diligence before deciding today.
Would you answer one question for me? Are you planning to continue to serve? Are you willing to continue?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Unless you all want to, stage a coup. No, I'm honored to continue to serve in this capacity. It is truly, truly an honor. So if you all will have me, I will continue. But if anyone else, if anyone wants to contest that, I will, graciously accept that too. So thank you for asking.
All right, I have the resolutions up to your map.
Thank you. And Commissioner Barth has recused herself from this discussion, I'm assuming due to conflict of interest.
All right. I think you're going to have to remind me, do we do these one by one or do we read them all into the record at the same time?
Yeah, you can actually read all three at the same, in one. We don't have to take separate action for each one. We will, this is a consent item as a group. Okay. So go ahead and read all three and then we'll move forward to vote.
So this is the resolution for the Britton Family Grove, resolution number 17-2021, adopted the 17th day on December, the 17th day of December 2021, whereas the Redwood League has requested the California State Park and Recreation Commission approve the establishment of the following commemorative Redwood Grove in Prairie Creek Redwood State Parks, and whereas the grove shall henceforth be known as the Britton Family Grove, and whereas the establishment of this grove has been made possible through the most generous donation of Ralph Britton, now therefore be it resolved that the California State Park and Recreation Commission extends in most sincere gratitude to this donor and hereby approves the establishment of this commemorative Redwood Grove. All right, I'm gonna go to the next one. So this resolution is for the Erdman Family Memorial Grove, resolution number 18-2021, adopted the 17th day of December 2021, whereas the Save the Redwoods League has requested that the California State and Park Recreation Commission approve the establishment of the following commemorative Redwood Grove in Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, and whereas this grove shall henceforth be known as the Erdman Family Memorial Grove, and whereas the establishment of this grove has been made possible through the most generous donation of the Erdman family, now therefore be it resolved that the California State Park and Recreation Commission extends its most sincere gratitude to this donor and hereby approves the establishment of this commemorative Redwood Grove. And then our final resolution is for Lori McDonald and Peter Belmont Redwood Grove. Resolution number 19-2021, adopted the 17th day of December 2021, whereas Save the Redwoods League has requested that the California State Park and Recreation Commission approve the establishment of the following commemorative Redwood Grove in the Humboldt Redwoods State Park, and whereas this grove shall henceforth be known as the Lori McDonald and Peter Belmont Redwood Grove, and whereas the establishment of this grove has been made possible through the most generous donation of Lori McDonald and Peter Belmont, now therefore be it resolved that the California State Park and Recreation Commission extends its most sincere gratitude to this donor and hereby approves the establishment of this commemorative Redwood Grove.
Thank you so much for reading these memorial groves. Do we have a motion to adopt the resolutions?
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Commissioner Toy, seconded by Commissioner Wittenberg. Staff, Ms. Beard, if you could take a roll call vote.
The motion is to approve resolution 17-2021, 18-2021, and 19-2021 Memorial Grove resolutions. Chair Mapp?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ginsburg?
Aye.
Commissioner Bakewell?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Mahdi?
Aye.
Commissioner Toy?
Aye.
Commissioner Wittenberg?
Aye.
The motion's approved with a vote of 6-0 with one recused.
Thank you very much, everyone. With appreciation for the family recognitions that we are memorializing here. I also, I was remiss to not let you all know at the start of this meeting that Commissioner Toy is having her last meeting with us today. She has some really exciting news, and I'd love to just give you a few minutes, Commissioner Toy, to tell the commission about your transition. But I just want to say that it just wasn't enough time to spend with you. I feel like, especially with, the you know, not having the in-person meetings, you know, I've really missed out. And I'm just so hopeful that I'll have a chance to find ways to connect with you. But I just, I'm so excited for you. And I just want you to have a chance to share a little bit about your own news and then allow any of the commissioners to share their thoughts and well wishes.
Thanks very much, Chair Matt. And yes, this will be my final commission meeting today. I've accepted an appointment into the administration as the first deputy secretary for access in the Department of Natural Resources. And the wonderful news about that is that I get to work with all of you and the state parks and Director Quintero and the staff and the other departments of the agency to really make movement on access in our parks and public spaces and our cultural and historic resources and museums across this great state. So I'm really excited about the opportunities that brings, and also tremendously happy that that means that we still get to work together in some way, albeit just a little bit different. So my time on the commission has been short, but I too wish we had been able to meet in person at least once around this time. But I suspect that I will get to do that in this next gig.
Excellent. Anyone else?
Can I just share, Commissioner Toy, we've never gotten to meet in person, and I have just been so excited for CNRA to have you and the foresight for the agency to be able to create a position like this, and really excited to see the work that you're going to be doing and the work supported by, you know, Geneva Thompson and Moises. Moreno Rivera, like it couldn't be more excited for the future of natural resources. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, again, congratulations. And we're looking forward to your resurfacing in our work and the chance to just lift up what the agency is going to accomplish through your leadership. So thank you very much for your service on the commission, and we wish you the best in this new role. Director Quintero, I see a hand up.
I mean, one of the things that's just so exciting about this is that Catherine's probably gonna be in our office pretty regularly up in Sacramento and will be helping to amplify the very work that we see as a core part of our mission. I mean, and to have these partners, as Commissioner Mahdi mentioned, in resources has already been a huge lift, certainly for state parks. And I meet regularly with Deputy Secretary Moy and Geneva Thompson, and there's daily correspondence going on there. And I know that will happen with Catherine. And being aware of the work that Catherine's done in the past at the Golden Gate Parks Conservancy, as well as at Angel Island, I mean, we really couldn't ask for a better colleague. Just couldn't ask for a better colleague. And I'm so thrilled. And thank you for the work that you've done on the commission, Catherine.
Of course. Exciting times ahead.
Indeed. Okay, we've reached the end of our agenda for the December 17th, 2021 meeting of the California State Park and Recreation Commission. I wanna thank you all for your hard work, your hearty participation, and this meeting is hereby adjourned. I need a gavel.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank
Bye.
You. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.